I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby.
I'm not a big fan of I Told You So, but didn't I tell you so? From the moment Donald Trump came down that escalator, we're in trouble. Bob Woodward's book will be out in a matter of days. And unless you were sleeping under a big rock, you probably heard the story from yesterday. We'll give you, it's a strange word to use, the highlights of the excerpts of what's actually going on in the White House coming up this morning. And also yesterday, was it about 10:30, 11 o'clock?
Yeah, right.
All hell broke loose.
Yep.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel announced he's not seeking re-election. He is scheduled to join us at what time?
7:30, 7:40.
How are you feeling? You confident he's going to make it?
Oh, I'm confident he's going to make it. And he, but you know, when he gets here, we start talking to him when he arrives. So,
There's obviously lots of speculation on why he would pull out of the race this late, relatively speaking. You know, he's never lost a race.
Yeah,
he was going to be a slog.
Well, he went out of his way to say he was 6-for-6. He would have been 7-for-7.
Yeah, and I do think he would have won. I just your immediate concerns now need to go to, well, okay, then who?
I think it's fascinating to look at the list of people who are lining up or the media is reaching
out. Well, who's the leader? Who jumps out?
Right now, you look at Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle as somebody who has said that they were interested in the job at one point and decided not to because of who was in there. What I think is interesting is that there's a list. There's former Obama Chief of Staff Bill Daley. There's Susana Mendoza, who's the comptroller. You can go down the list of the heavyweights of Democrats in the state of Illinois that want this job. None of them decided to run against Rahm Emanuel because that's how Democrat politics works in Chicago. There is an anointed one. Mm-hmm. And everyone else follows in line. So now that he's gone, it's interesting to see Luis Gutierrez, the former congressman who is not running for re-election Congress. I mean, there's a lot of big names that have shown interest now that the mayor is not running.
Worst case scenario is a Madigan protege.
Or
looks like we're
going
to have one in the governor's office. Bridget Gaynor was in until she wasn't. And is a big supporter of hers.
There are a lot of great old names that have been thrown around. So it'll be interesting to see. This is going to be a tremendous circus for them.
What about Daley? Ready for the comeback?
Possibly. I think really what we should be asking is, whose job does he want now, the mayor? You know, he's been doing that podcast, so I would...
Oh, you think he wants this?
I think he might want to be...
He may be coming in here saying he's taking the show.
Taking over the morning show at WGN.
You got to start horse trading.
Windy City Live just started their 8th season,
yeah, right.
So maybe he'll sit alongside Roe and Val and Ryan.
So you think he goes from here right over to Windy City Live and Ryan and I are out?
Yep, there's a chance.
Well, we can always do like a super good-looking double sort of thing.
Yeah.
What about you running?
For mayor?
Mm-hmm.
I don't live in the city.
Yeah, well,
city.
You could move.
Carpet bag it.
That didn't stop Mayor Emanuel when he first came to Chicago.
Carpet bag it, get some in the city.
Yeah. I saw some interesting conversation yesterday about maybe Bill Daley, Tony Preckwinkle, perhaps reconsidering.
There's still time. That's the weird part. Because the campaign really doesn't start until the day after the election.
Well, they said that the filing for mayor is in November. So there is a month and a half or so.
You should have seen, Steve, you weren't here. But when the news broke, Justin was running around like a chicken with his head cut off. He gets very excited about news.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, we need the date of the paperwork. When is paperwork being filed? He needed to know it was a
Did he pound his fist and say, we got to get this right, and we got to get this right right now?
Yes, but it was against all of our glass doors, which don't really give you any satisfaction.
It was like a broadcast news moment, and I ran into a pane of glass.
Did you go around into the newsroom and try to rip wire copy off a machine that no longer exists?
Where's the fax machine?
We have a fake typewriter here for people to type on just to, you know, get the feeling.
For emphasis, just pound it out. Yeah. Also on the show today, Adam Hoge will talk about your Chicago Bears. And, of course, we have the MVP again. And we have new apples. John DeCoste will be here shortly. And he has a couple of bags of apples.
Oh, I brought some apples for you, too.
Oh, you did? Oh,
from
Mary.
Some Macintosh that from my sister's backyard in Menominee.
Fantastic.
Menominee, Wisconsin.
Menominee.
How was your, and Dave Ennett brought in an apple for you to try.
Yes.
Oh, what kind is that? We don't know. It'll be blindfolded, Mary. Oh, shoot. I shouldn't have said what type of That's apple. Okay. When they're blindfolded, you may not even know that it's a Macintosh.
Yesterday, the Cujo one. Was it Cujo?
Kiku.
Kiku.
Pops likes a Kiku.
Kiku advanced, and Samrick was very upset with me because she wanted her apple, the Kanzi, to win.
Yeah. I have a lot of listener support behind me on that Kanzi. Yeah.
So you're picking apples up in Wisconsin, Mary?
Well, I wasn't picking them. My sister was at her house in Menominee, and she brought me some.
Oh, nice.
So
I think listen, all over the country, people are talking about the great apple test. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know, what will Steve's next apple be?
I was thinking Kanzi sounds a lot like Ponzi scheme, Kanzi scheme.
Oh.
That's why I guess maybe I have a negative view of that apple.
I had a negative view because it tasted like sweet tarts in an apple. It's too sweet.
That sounds good.
That's the exact selling point of that apple, but we don't need to get into
without
it.
Without the chalky.
Are we still fighting?
I think we're still fighting. We are still fighting.
Do you think it was weird I was taking pictures of apples yesterday in my refrigerator and sending them to you guys?
I thought it was an upgrade.
Really? Okay, good to know.
The apples quite aren't a selection. Supposed to be in the refrigerator, Dave.
Yeah, you know, we had this discussion yesterday. Yeah. I've always chilled apples, and now I'm being told don't do that.
No, they grow on a tree outside, so it should be eaten at room temperature.
And I did
into a cold apple. Oh, that's awful.
Oh, I like cold apples.
I like them. Hurt your teeth.
I did Google that yesterday because I sometimes when I go pick apples as the bunch of them is getting to be toward the end of their you can put them in the crisper
their lives
you can put them in the crisper and it'll extend their lives by a couple weeks. But I don't know,
yeah they fade, you know, but by that token you should put bananas in the refrigerator, I suppose, and I never do that. It's just, you know, it's habits. Dave, we like apples in the refrigerator, don't we?
Yes, we do, okay. Steve.
At 6:20, we'll do the top six at six coming up in a second. Kara Conti will be here to talk about Brett Kavanaugh and the Supreme Court situation in a very contentious, ugly, weird opening day of confirmation hearings. You can't even call them hearings because they do this thing where everybody in the Senate gets to do 10 minutes as an opening monologue, and Kavanaugh has to sit there and look at them. Then, after the first lap, they come back around, and now they'll start asking questions.
That's what Durbin said yesterday, that for someone who writes a bunch of opinions, and this is what judges do, they get real clammed up when they get in that rotunda.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're like, I can't remember what I wrote yesterday.
And speaking of that, handshake gate is now a thing. We'll talk about that coming up.
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top 666. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
All the news you need to know. What? All the news you need to know.
Did I just hear in that promo that you're going on road today?
I don't know. Did you? It seemed odd. It's fine. I don't have any plans to be on row, but if I can work that out, I'll certainly do that. I like row. Row will be on this show, won't he?
Yes, he will.
That's our continuing tour of hosts that do this show and never invite me on their show.
No, maybe they do invite you. Maybe it's going to your spam folder.
Oh,
because it takes something to say
that
Steve
would
Cocker's
be awkward.
Be on, right?
That would be very awkward.
You are not great at checking your email.
What email? I have email. Let's go live to Dave Ennett at Jim Furyk's house, where Jim Furyk has announced his three of four final picks. Who's he chosen?
He has chosen...
By the way, did the Furyks know you're at their house this morning?
No, I'm trying to be quiet, but it's after 7 o'clock here, so we're okay.
All right.
Remember, it's an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
Bryson DeChambeau.
This makes sense. He's won the last two.
He's played well all year, really.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Woods.
Never heard of him.
Who's got some experience in this realm, as does Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson, a very good Ryder Cup player, and you golf fans like me, you better enjoy this. This could be Phil's last trip around the sun.
His 12th straight appearance in the Ryder Cup.
And the next time the Ryder Cup comes around, I believe he'll be 50.
Yeah.
In golf years, that's 50.
That is 50.
Yes.
That is 50. Right. And then there's one more pick still to be made that will come after the BMW Championship, which will be played, unfortunately, not in Chicago,
yes,
but in Philadelphia coming up this weekend.
So you're saying I still have a shot?
No.
Okay. All right. Item
reporting
number
live
two.
From Jim Furyk's house.
Yeah.
Dave Ennett, WGN Sports.
You like apples.
Tell Furyk I said hello.
I will.
The great apple test this morning continues. Item number two, previously discussed here. Mayor Emanuel announced he would not seek re-election after 8 years in office, or almost eight. He'll be in studio during the 7 o'clock hour this morning. And, you know, we'll talk to him about it. Big shocker.
I mean, I get the idea because it was Mayor Daley 8 years ago, or I think it would be 8 years ago, that he did the same thing right after Labor Day. He shocked everybody. And then Rahm Emanuel was he was almost appointed in a way by the Democratic machine to be the next candidate. There's questions about whether or not that'll happen. We have to ask the mayor that. If there's somebody waiting in the wings, a new candidate that has not yet said that they want to be mayor of Chicago. And also, you know, the timing is interesting that today is the start of Laquan McDonald, the trial of Jason Van Dyke.
Well, that's one of the theories.
One of the theories
is that he didn't want to deal with that and try to get reelected as well.
Ask him about that.
There's another question about whether or not there's another tape out there, another cop tape.
Hey, did I hear yesterday that his announcement yesterday was exactly 8 years to the day that Daley did the same announcement? Was it exactly the same day?
Either Tuesday or Wednesday after Labor Day. That's what I remember. So I'm not sure if it was the exact date, but yeah, 8 years.
I think it's a trend setting sort of thing. While everyone else gets into the race, he's getting out. He's always been a rebel that way. Quack.
Do you like apples?
Amazon hit $1 trillion in value yesterday, becoming the second U.S. company after Apple to cross the once unthinkable threshold. $1 trillion. That means your Amazon Prime membership is going to go to $100,000 a year. It seems pricey, but delivery's free.
That story was selected just to bug Justin, because Justin's anti-Amazon.
Yeah, I become anti-Amazon.
Yeah, why do you hate Amazon?
He hates convenience.
No, I just did. I didn't like the news story when they had a Prime Day and everyone went crazy. It was the top news story of the day. I'm like, it's like Kmart having a sale. It's a sale.
Hey, Grandpa.
It's not a news story.
Do you hate two-day delivery as well?
Free two-day delivery.
I used to like Justin.
I was yelling at Alexa all morning today asking, where's my money?
For the trillion?
I got no response.
Show me the money, Alexa.
Show me the money.
Next.
You like apples.
Well, dealing with the serious and ugly flooding on the north side and weird storms all over. A deadly storm ripped into Japan. The country's been hit by the strongest typhoon in 25 years. Think hurricane. At least 11 dead, 600 injured, thousands trapped at a major airport that was right in the blast zone. They're not out of the woods yet. And there'll be a lot on this story later today. And?
Do you like apples?
Yes, actually, I do. there's people in your life that you go, wow, I'm lucky I got to know that guy. And one of those guys is Mayor George Pradel. The longtime Naperville mayor died yesterday after a battle with cancer. And he died at the age of 80. He was one day short of his 81st birthday. He was the longest-serving mayor in Naperville history, elected in 1995, left office in 2015, lost his wife a couple of years ago and was very devastated by that. And I don't know that he ever emotionally recovered. I don't know. It's not like Mayor Pradel and I hung out, but I knew him pretty well. And I take some comfort, some peace in the fact that he and his wife are reunited now because he was a good guy. And I've never seen, you know, he made, Dave, did you ever meet Pradel?
Oh, sure, many times. He was on the show a lot, especially, and he and Spike were very close.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right?
He made Tom Skilling look depressed.
Well put.
When you meet George Pradel, when you would meet Mayor Pradel, he would not only tell you how great Naperville is, he'd tell you how great you are, even if he just met you.
Yeah.
And he'd make you feel better about everything. He's a good guy.
He's always so cute. He had just a little twinkle in his eye.
He wanted to
grab his cheeks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was great.
Nice, cute man.
He was a very good man, and he was great for Naperville. So if you live in Naperville and you enjoy Naperville, a lot of the success in Naperville is because Pradel was the boss. And then this.
You like apples.
Yes, please. Robert Mueller has said, amongst other things, that he's willing to accept some written answers from President Trump on questions on the Russia investigation. Pretty good chance Trump's not going to be writing those out. Pretty good chance he's not going to be sitting down with pen and paper. But he'll have attorneys to do the same. And, of course, the big Trump news from yesterday was not even the hearing beginning for the new Supreme Court justice possibilities of Brett Kavanaugh, but this Bob Woodward book. And we'll get into more gory details on that coming up. By the way, I'm not defending Brett Kavanaugh, but you're going to hear a lot this morning about Kavanaugh blowing off a father of a girl who was killed in the last Florida school shooting in Parkland, Florida. And the video is pretty awful. The video is a father sticking out his hand to shake hands with Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I don't understand this.
Kavanaugh turning away. Look, he may be that big a creep. No, he may be that big a creep. I believe that it's entirely possible that in a tense situation, he was spooked. He was spooked by a guy who started talking, saying things, and stuck his hand out, and he just kept going. The video looks awful. The video looks like he blew him off.
Right.
But I think Kavanaugh deserves the benefit of the doubt. We got a lot of things to be outraged about. I don't know that this is one of them.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Top six complete. Back and Karen Conti on the way.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top Six at Six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
There's no verse of Schoolhouse Rock that says give a whole bunch of power to the alphabet soup agencies and let them decide what the governance decision should be for the people, because the people don't have any way to fire the bureaucrats.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
That's a young senator named Ben Sasse, who could well be a candidate in 2020 for the White House if Trump is no longer around. He was one of the people that spoke up yesterday and sort of stood out from the yapping crowd, just on and on and on, just after a Democrat rumble as the whole thing got started. Anyway, let's talk a little law. Karen Conti's here, and how are you, Karen?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Give me a little Laquan McDonald first. Trial's about to start, and there's a lot of preconceived notions here on how this is going to go. Should we be surprised if anything turns in another direction?
Well, one of the things I've been talking about is the law is not what most people think it is. People think you can only pull out your gun if you're a police officer, if you're threatened immediately with bodily harm, but that's just not the case. And if you look at the law, it's much more liberal for a police officer to pull out his gun if he thinks someone is escaping from a crime, if he has a weapon in his hand. All of those things could warrant a police officer taking out a gun and shooting. So I think we're going to have to really put aside passion and prejudice and all the things we think about when we see that horrible, horrible film, and really kind of concentrate on what the jury has to decide, which is a little bit different.
Yeah, but I think in this case, the question's really about excessive force, because 16 shots will be the issue, because a police officer being able to one shot, two shot, five shot, or even, you know, the clearing out the chamber, whatever, however you will. But the question is, the jury's going to be asked about whether or not this was excessive because of how many bullets were used.
But is that the law? I don't know.
Well, when you look at the jury instructions, it all comes down to jury instructions. I know we want to make this into, you know, the sexy case of blood and guts and all of that, but the cold, hard jury instructions say that if you take out your gun to use force and it's deadly force, you can use deadly force. Now, is that a bad fact if I were representing Van Dyke? Yeah, 16, it seems like a lot, right? It seems like overkill, but I don't think that should come into play if the jurors do their job.
Karen, real quick, just staying on that story for a second. We saw Jason Van Dyke interviewed by the Chicago Tribune. I think his wife was on Windy City Live yesterday. There seems to be a coordinated strategy from the Van Dyke defense to get his story out to the public. The judge has said don't do that. There was questions about whether or not he was going to be held in contempt. Where are we with that? Is that something that you think is going to play out in this trial as this begins?
Well, I think that he violated the gag order by giving those interviews. It's pretty clear to me, having read the gag order. The judge was pretty clear. He didn't want anyone talking to the press who might be testifying, and certainly he might be testifying. But I think the idea was, yes, to get out the fact that he's a human being, that he has a family, that he has stands a lot to lose, that he never meant to do this. He didn't go out that day hoping to kill somebody. And I think the idea is, you know, if you could influence just one juror who might be in that jury pool, who might vote to acquit him, that it was worth it to do that. Basically, the studies show that pretrial publicity is not really that effective in that the jurors are questioned vigorously about what their passions and prejudices are, and they promise that they can put those things aside. And for the most part, they do a pretty good job of that.
The idea that he would go away for murder, it seems, again, like a predetermined notion. But what is he going to be charged with, or what will he likely be convicted of if he is? Is this a manslaughter thing?
Well, he's charged right now with first-degree murder. And
that has to be premeditated, right?
Right. And it seems like that's an overcharge, and it can be at the end of this that the prosecution allows the jury to consider what we call lesser-included offenses, such as reckless homicide, second-degree murder, et cetera, which seems to me to be a more appropriate charge, if any, for him.
Can you get a charge with first-degree murder if you weren't intending to kill that person, but they proved that you were getting up that morning to kill somebody?
Yes. Yeah, you mean yes, technically yes. I mean, premeditated doesn't mean that you have to think about it for 2 days. It means that you intended to kill somebody without any justification. So in this case, the idea would be that he had no justification at all to defend himself, nor did he have any of the defenses that the law provides him.
What if the defense is, he snapped? I mean, what do you do in a case like that? You know, he has the power to have a gun. He has the power to pull a gun. He's a cop on duty. He was afraid, even though, the kid's walking away. He was afraid, and he just snapped. I mean, is that a defense?
It's somewhat of a defense. I think it goes against the idea of premeditation. It goes against the idea of malice, meaning, he intended to do something bad. If he has post-traumatic stress or he just flipped out because of something he saw that was inappropriate, the question is really comes down to what was reasonable in his situation. What was a reasonable police officer to do when he knew what he knew? And listen, Laquan McDonald's background, they're trying to get that in. They're trying to dirty him up, but it really doesn't matter because the only thing that matters was what did Van Dyke know seconds before he pulled that gun? If he knew that he had slashed a tire and lunged at a police officer and was walking around with a knife on the street, that's probably enough for him to pull his gun and use deadly force, according to the law. But his background, what he had in the past, drug use, whatever it was, that probably shouldn't come in.
Let's come back and talk a little bit about the Supreme Court, if you would, with the Brett Kavanaugh hearings.
We need a Congress that writes laws and then stands before the people and suffers the consequences and gets to go back to our own Mount Vernon if that's what the electors decide. We need an executive branch that has a humble view of its job as enforcing the law, not trying to write laws in the Congress's absence. And we need a judiciary that tries to apply written laws to facts and cases that are actually before it.
Kavanaugh wants to be the next Supreme Court Justice. Donald Trump would like him to be the next Supreme Court Justice. The Senate is in show-off mode where they can all go back and forth, and these hearings are tedious. Karen, you know a lot about the Supreme Court. What's your take on what you saw yesterday and where we go from here?
It's obviously become such a political process, and it's kind of a shame because you think that the judiciary should be above and beyond that. Listen, I think that Kavanaugh is a good candidate in that he's smart, he's extremely well-schooled, he is one of the most experienced judges that's been up for nomination. He's been 10 years on the D.C. appellate court. The problem is that the longer you're in the game, the more you've written, and the more people can take what you've written and extrapolate that and project what he might do in the future. So that's a problem for this process. It's not a problem for a judge, because if he really is a good judge, and I assume he is a good judge, he is going to take each case and he's going to apply the law and he's going to come down the way he thinks it should come down based upon the law, not based upon his opinions and based upon his prejudices and all of those things. But we just don't know until we get the judge in there. That's the problem.
Well, and the panic that's underway is that this is the guy that's going to tip Roe versus Wade. This is the guy that's going to do a lot of terrible things, according to a lot of people. Look, there are nine of them. How much power does one justice have?
well, certainly one justice can tip the balance. And according to the experts who know a lot more than I do, he could be that one, because Anthony Kennedy, who just retired, was sort of that pivotal vote.
But is it that simple? Because don't we get way ahead here? We're assuming a case comes in that could cause abortion to be tested, the right to an abortion being tested, and then we assume we know how everybody's going to vote without knowing anything about their particular case.
No, you're absolutely right, Steve, because the facts might drive the case one way or the other. And listen, precedent is what the judges have to follow. If they're going to overturn a landmark decision like Roe versus Wade, you know, it's going to take a lot to do that, because they are bound by what has been decided in the past, unless something has so changed and so evolved that the law requires it. So, you know, are we concerned about it if we're pro-choice? Yes, we are, but there's really nothing we can do at this point. Like I said, he's a good candidate. He's a smart guy. And my guess is he's going to get confirmed.
Yesterday, Karen, we had Senator Durbin on. He was talking about in 2006, he had an issue with Judge Kavanaugh, who said one thing in a testimony, and then after he was confirmed, you know, something else came out that proved that he was lying on the stand. The senator is concerned about that happening again, especially if the White House not revealing all the documents they have. Is that the only way that could trip this up, the idea that you've seen a judge being maybe not as honest as possible in the past?
Well, I guess I'd want to see exactly what the question was that Dick Durbin asked and what the answer was, because, you know, as a judge, you can't say this is the way I would rule. You can't talk about your political opinions. You can't even talk about your personal opinions about abortion. That's the wrong thing, because judges may have to decide that. And listen, I have friends who are judges, and they won't even talk to me about their opinions, because it might come to their attention that they have to rule on something, and they don't want to be perceived as having preconceived notions, which of course everybody does. So I'd have to know exactly what the conversation was and what he said. And, you know, maybe he's inclined to follow XYZ, but when the time came and the facts were in front of him, he had to do ABC. So, you know,
it's not as cut.
Sometimes we're talking about abstract concepts here, not concrete things.
Yeah, and they're politics arguments as opposed to what's really right in front of us. So give me the black and white of the law. Do we really not know everything because we haven't seen all the documents, or is it pretty hard to hide your views based on the volume of paperwork that's out there?
I mean, I think all of that. I think that because he's been, he worked for George W. Bush, too, and he worked for Ken Starr during the impeachment process.
Right.
So he did things other than being a judge. And I think what they want to do, you know, the Democrats are probably looking at every single document, trying to find things that are controversial or things that maybe show that he's made his mind up about certain things, and use that against him. And that's the nature of how we're doing these confirmation proceedings these days. We find dirt and we rub it in. You know, it's unfortunate in a way, because I don't want a judge up there who has no life experience. I don't want someone up there who is a neophyte, just got out of law school and doesn't understand the ramifications of important decisions. And even though I may not agree with this guy's politics for one reason or another, I respect him as a jurist, and I respect him to try to do the right thing.
Going forward on this, a vote is still a period of time away, but we're going to be putting up with a couple of days of back and forth, one Republican followed by one Democrat followed by one Republican. Could you make a call to the Supreme Court and change this? Because it's really annoying to watch.
I'll make that call for you, Steve. I will.
Yeah, Judge Judy decide or something. You know, I mean, it's got to be an easier way. Thank you, Karen.
All right. Have a great week.
You're on the radio Sunday?
I'm on the radio Sunday from 7 to 9.
All right. And what you just heard is sponsored by whom? Our friends at Northwestern. We're coming up. The stories that matter. The stories that matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That's on the way.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right. Coming up here in just a second, it's Justin and Pete's travel log, telling us the glory that we've mostly missed out on of Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
Yeah.
Where, oddly, they both went and took separate vacations
It
seems like
he
could have saved some time.
I know, right?
Just ahead of that, Mayor Rahm Emanuel will be here at 7:40. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, sir.
7:40, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and be the first place he talks with any detail about why he's decided not to run for re-election in a race that everybody thought he would win, even though it was going to be tough.
I'm curious what vegetables he's going to bring you.
Well, these aren't really goodbye vegetables, though. These are, you know...
Every time he comes, he brings you either a smoothie from his wife's garden or...
I could go for a smoothie this morning. I anticipate that they'll be goodbye vegetables maybe in December, January, February.
Maybe when he takes your job.
He's done running. He's not going to bring you anything.
You think it's over?
I think it's over. Honeymoon's over.
So no gifts?
No gifts. I think it's over.
I never saw it as political. I saw it as giving.
No, he's bribing you. He's giving you celery and
maybe
kale.
I should let him be in on the apple test.
When he has that list of things that he wanted to accomplish, you know, the full-day kindergarten, the pre-K, the free college for kids with B averages, on that list was also turning Steve Cochran on to vegetables.
Yeah,
that's why I think it's going to continue. I think it was a more friendly thing, Steve. I bet you he brings you some vegetables.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah. After he's out of office, when he's just relaxing, do you think I'm going to have to go to his house and, like, hang out in his garden?
I bet he starts canning tomatoes. That takes up a lot of time. It's a good thing to do, and they already grow stuff at their house.
I would like to talk to his wife Amy and say, I'm sure this is a very wonderful thing for you and the mayor and your family, but honestly, how frightened are you to have the mayor around all day every day?
Especially because they're empty nesters. I don't know if she approves this. I'll ask him that
when he comes in too. At 7:12, Pete, you went to Pittsburgh and Cleveland. You started planning this beautiful trip when?
Probably in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, I went to Mason, Ohio.
Where's that?
It's a little bit north of Cincinnati.
Oh, so you weren't in Cleveland, but you were in Ohio.
I was in Ohio, yep.
Justin, you went to Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
We did. We went on an art trip. We went to...
But that was after Pete went.
No, it was planned after
completely
Pete planned.
Separate.
Completely separate. We did not talk about it. It wasn't even my idea. It was my wife's idea. So the concept, when Pete was leaving for vacation, he's like, well, we're going here and here. I'm like, wow, that's almost identical to what we're doing. It's such a weird thing.
If you guys went out
identity.
To dinner and you both ordered the same thing, wouldn't you be a little uncomfortable? And now you're traveling the same route.
Well, I personally feel like I've been talking about this trip for 5 months to Justin.
Oh, so you think Justin copied you?
So you think I'm like I'm Dane Cook to your Louis C.K.?
Yeah, kind of. That's actually a fair description.
I knew about Pete's trip.
In Justin's defense, I do talk to him a lot while he's doing his fantasy baseball roster.
I'm in the playoffs. So
there's a lot. There's a lot of
pins and needles.
Yeah.
Wondering how you're going
to
do.
The only reason Pete went to Mason is because it was actually the front page news in Mason that he was going to be.
Oh, that's it? Right, the big story was Pete's coming to town?
By the way, both of you should really find a new travel agent.
No, Pittsburgh is great. What did you do? Let's compare. What did you do just in Pittsburgh? Because we did Cleveland instead of Cincinnati.
In Pittsburgh, we went to a Cubs game, Cubs versus Pirates.
Oh, and you went to a football game.
I went to Steelers,
but
Panthers.
Pete planned on going to the Cubs. They went there for the game. That's why they went to Pittsburgh. Justin ended up at a sports game.
And he got a bitchin' deal on a ticket. Yeah.
When I walked in, we got there for lunch in Pittsburgh, and everybody had a Steelers jersey on. I was like, what a weird town. That's your dress. It's a work day. It's a Wednesday. And then or a Thursday, and I realized quickly that there was a final preseason game at Heinz Field. So we just went to the phone and went, oh, can we get tickets? And we're $10. And I'm like, man, Soldier Field. Like, the whole time we're just like, you couldn't do this in Chicago. You couldn't do this in Chicago. You probably can't.
It's a nice stadium. Yeah. All right, you both went to games.
Go ahead.
Pete actually had an incident at his game. Well, we saw him on TV because he and Molly were on TV.
Well, you were both like camera hogs. I mean, you were jumping all over trying to get Miles to jump on camera, and you were waving your arms like, wait, TV, look at me.
But I was running
smiling.
Over kids.
Pete was not even smiling. It was the most serious video I've ever seen. But he had an incident with a seat washer offer at the
Oh, no,
stadium.
What happened?
Well, it had been raining a little bit in the afternoon, so we went to the game, and we find our seats, and usher takes us down to our seats, and he makes a big deal, grabs the towel out of his back pocket and like starts rubbing, wiping down the seats for us.
Very nice.
All nice. I'm like, pointed to him, thanks a lot there, chief, and then sat down. And then as the game's going on, or as more people are coming in, I've noticed he's doing this for everybody, and everybody's giving him money.
I did not tip. They accept that, like, in Pittsburgh. I would think that would be
I would think it'd be shunned.
Dave, have you seen ushers get tipped?
No, I think at the ballparks here, vendors, yes. Ushers, I have not seen.
Yeah. That's so kind of an unofficial policy that the ushers don't get.
But that's how they get you. They charge you $10 for the ticket. Right. And then you get inside, you got a tip.
So did you have a run-in with this guy again?
No, but, you know, he was eyeballing me the whole time. Like, look at you.
Chicago loser.
Yeah. Like,
would you spend all your money on defense against eggplants being left outside your house? So when you left, did you try to go through another exit so you wouldn't see him?
There was a lot.
Let's go over the ramp on the other side of the stadium.
Avoiding eye contact.
Yeah, I understand. All right. Steelers game went well, right?
Steelers game is fine. It was Miles' first game, and I was so excited because this was so impromptu, and I was like, my son's 11 years old. He's never seen a football game. He's not really into sports. I was so excited because I was like, this could be a huge moment because I love football, and he could care less. He was like, he was like, yellow. Black. Okay.
Do you hear Justin? Bumblebees? Yeah, exactly. Justin's bumblebees. Like, this is so it was his first game. I was so excited.
I was so excited.
This is very big moment for Justin.
You thought it'd be a breakthrough.
Like, I thought it'd be a breakthrough.
You cracked the egg on his love for sports.
Exactly. I thought this would be a moment because it's Steeler football. It's not something that's, it's not like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, but it was the fourth preseason game.
Yeah, I was going to say they either started.
Steeler practice. Bell's not even there.
Yeah, that's why Miles wasn't interested. It was the fourth preseason.
You know what he loved his dad doing? Going, look at that. You see that minuscule guy, number 84 there on the sideline who's not playing? He's famous. You see that guy, number 7, who didn't even put on number 7 because he's a gym schlub?
He's another guy you would have enjoyed seeing.
Right.
Justin also didn't let Miles get a milkshake because there was too many calories in it.
It was crazy. There was
he's a kid. You go to a game and get him a milkshake.
No. I'm glad.
Where'd you make him eat?
He had popcorn for dinner that day.
Oh, well, that's better.
The best part was they said it's $9 for popcorn. We're like, and we're so used to it. Everything in Chicago is $9. And they're like, free refills. And we're like, the thing is huge. And my wife's like, I think we'll be okay. And they're like, hey, for $9, I mean, you get the free refill. And I was like, so there's a value add there. And I was like, yeah, you don't really get that value. $9 would just be $9.
Well, that's the AMC
Chicago
theater thing. They give you a keg of Coke and they go, but you can get it refilled. Why would I? I'm going to die.
I'm going to die. Yeah.
All right. So you went to a museum, though, too.
Yes. We did the Andy Warhol Museum.
As did we.
And we did,
you did as well.
And we did a day
trip. But in separate weeks.
And then we did a day trip to Falling Water, which is the Frank Lloyd Wright house out in Pennsylvania.
And what did you think about that?
It was amazing. It was just amazing.
Yeah, that is phenomenal.
Miles loved that. Yeah. That was
big
so
Frank
good.
Lloyd Wright.
Isn't it a house built around a waterfall or something?
It is. It's actually built into the stream, and there is free refills of popcorn.
What week did you go?
I've been there several times.
It's a tremendous house, and they built it on top of this waterfall so that the sound of water is constant. And so there's this rush of water throughout any room that you're in the house. There's just this background
with
noise.
Six bathrooms, obviously.
Yeah, right.
You need those.
It's a tremendous architectural feature.
That is one of the most pleasant sounds in the world. Can you imagine getting tired of that? You're living in a house, you're going, oh, Christ, oh, the waterfall. What? Now, what did you do artistically?
Well, I want to mention this, too. When my wife was talking to Justin's wife, Julie, they were talking about their trips or whatever, and Julie mentioned going to Falling Water, and Julie had mentioned that she was trying to explain to Miles what this was, and Miles said, oh, I know what it is. When I Google my name, it comes up.
Yes. Because the Kaufman family that ended up owning Macy's, it was the Kaufman department stores in Pittsburgh. Uh-huh. They spell it the same way that I do. And that was their summer home.
And how weird is that they even knew to stay out of Pittsburgh?
Right.
How about that?
Now, have you guys planned on where you're not going together next year?
I know. We should just bite the bullet and go together. We'll do everything else together.
Do you think you'd vacation? Would you vacation together, you think?
We have a kid. That's the only thing. You guys don't have kids.
Yeah. Bring one of the cats.
But Miles is kind of an adult kid. So
he is. Miles is a good kid to match up with no kids.
We'd love to.
Well, listen, I like Pittsburgh. Yeah. I've never spent any time in Mason. I like Pittsburgh. I think it's a very underrated city. And I like Cleveland. I think Cleveland's an underrated city.
Mason is great. Too. He was there for a tennis tournament. It's a really an amazing tennis tournament.
I don't doubt it.
Justin went on an art trip that included some sports. Right. Ours was a sports trip that included some art.
There you go. See, there is a difference.
I was going to say, you should step it up next year and go to Terre Haute.
I've already booked them for Yonkers and Newark.
Yeah, I mean, just go nuts.
The Kusama, Yoy Kusama exhibit in Cleveland at the Cleveland Museum of Art is exceptional. I mean, it is world-renowned. People, there were lines around the block to get into this thing. It was an amazing experience. And the other thing, Stephen, I know you would like this. The rental car of choice for us was a 2018 Chevy Equinox.
Oh, good call.
And it was awesome. Good call. I read the spots all the time about hey, Chevy Equinox.
Did you eat at Pimenti Brothers?
At the Steelers game, we did.
Oh, you did?
Was not a fan, but...
Yeah, it's
basically, it was under the light for in the heating lamp for four hours.
But the thing about that sandwich, it always feels to me like, let's just shovel every extra ingredient off the table and onto a slice of bread.
That's true. Falls down the valley. It's a sandwich. Yeah. It fell in.
Pete's wife, Molly, complained about Pete's choice of road trip snacks on their drive.
What'd you have on the drive?
Mike and Ike's.
What are you, nine?
Well, I don't eat a lot of candy. I'm addicted to sugar, but I don't.
Hey, I got an apple for you. Try that candy.
I'll limit it out of my life. So whenever I get an offer the opportunity to have some sugar, I go nuts on it. So I had some Mike and Ike's, and I'm like, give me some Mike and Ike's. Feed me the Mike and Ike's while I'm driving. And like you can't just have one Mike and Ike. You have to have a handful.
You need like an IV.
Yeah.
I need some more M&I now.
I'm like shoveling it in my mouth. And it's like really annoying because I'm driving and it's like... for like 6 hours.
Is your wife sitting there regretting her choices in life?
Yes.
Yeah, do you have a road go-to snack?
The road go-to snack, we went to the grocery store and got a bunch of malt balls. Which were good.
I guess we're both lame.
No, it was good. It turned out to be really
actually,
good.
Actually, both of those fit the trips.
Like Whoppers?
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, but from the candy, like, you know, where you put the dip in, by the
you know,
pound.
Pittsburgh and Cleveland, John's right, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, it's an off-the-beaten-path sort of thought process, so why wouldn't you have Mike and Ike's and malt balls?
It was good. It was a good trip. We went to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well.
And that's great.
We also went to the Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, we went to the Mr. Rogers.
Oh, that's great. You both went to Mr. Rogers?
Yeah. Did they make your shoes come off with that?
Yeah, right. They have his shoes in a glass case. Ooh. Like these old shoes, and it's so funny to be like, wow, they're like someone grabbed his shoes that he would put on in the show, and they put him in a glass
case. In there too.
We know Michael Keaton started out on that show, the actor Michael Keaton. He's from Pittsburgh.
Turned 67 today.
Was today's birthday? Yeah. And Michael Keaton said that one of the things they were going to do, and tell me if they did this, one of the things they were going to do is there was a particular exhibit where you had to take your shoes off to walk in it. Was there any place you had to take your shoes off?
No.
Mm-hmm. That would have been cool.
Mm-hmm. It's the set, which is cool, but it's pretty small. Like the guy who was the volunteer there told us most of the stuff is in the neighborhood Oakland, in the archives there. But in the Heinz History Museum downtown, they had the actual castle. The tree that the owl is in, and then the
land of make believe,
and then they had like an animatronic kind of that didn't move, Mr. Rogers that was putting on his shoes, and the kitten, Mr. Friday, is it Friday? What's the
King Friday?
Not King Friday. What's the kitten?
No, meow meow kitten.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand
what
that.
The hell am I listening?
It is. It's meow meow kitten.
They had that. They had meow meow kitten.
Oklahoma City and Terre Haute for you two next year?
For sure.
Well, let's find out what Pete's going to do first, and then I'll copy it later.
You didn't go to the Christmas Story house?
We accidentally.
Okay.
We went to, it was funny, in Cleveland.
What the hell, are you the mayor of Pittsburgh?
No, it was in Cleveland.
Pittsburgh and Cleveland are like two of my favorite places to go.
It was too hot to walk around in Cleveland, so we just got in the car to drive around, and the second stoplight I got to, it just had a sign that said, Christmas House Story, and I'm like, what, in Cleveland? And then we just turned right, and there it was, and I'm like, wow, that was random, but yeah, we saw it.
Did you go inside?
No.
Oh, you didn't go inside?
No.
Oh, you should go inside.
I saw the outside.
Did you guys go to Shaker Heights? Because I know a guy near there named Bob.
I did not meet Bob, but we did go to Shaker Heights.
Okay. Was the lake burning when you were there? Was it on
was
fire?
Not. It's
fire on the lake? They do that every third day.
It was a nice shiny gray. So they're on their way up.
Park there is very nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you been to a game there?
I haven't, but we were thinking about going, but it rained.
You drive through Cleveland. It's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was in Mason? What was in Mason, Pete?
Nothing.
Outside of the tennis
tournament. It's
facility.
The tennis tournament.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A huge tennis tournament, though. I mean, it's like all the major players, like Rafael Nadal.
He was feet from Roger Federer, Serena. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. You could watch them practice.
Yeah. Like, we were they have put out their practice schedule, and you kind of go to watch Roger Federer practice because the courts are, it's like a, you know, like right here on like Millennial right. Park, the small like little court, and there is like people like in the trees and like on people's shoulders, like look, oh, there's Roger Federer, he's practicing, and then but then right behind
look,
you,
there's a tennis
is
ball.
Like every other famous tennis player is like walking behind you, like you don't even, you're trying to watch through right. a fence Roger Federer practice, but like
Nadal's behind you going, hey, I can't see,
right, exactly.
Well, listen, I think it's very odd that you both went to those two states in separate vacations. So yeah, I'd like to see you travel together next year.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? And we'll figure out an itinerary. We'll get back to
this. Will WGN cover costs?
Yeah, he cover
costs. We'll do a
absolutely
road trip.
Colorado. Trip. Let's yeah. go west.
We'll buy you a box of Mike and Ike's.
Right. The rest is up to you.
We have a listener from the 630 that also has a son named Miles, and he's 7, oh. and he's just like your Miles, an adult kid, super smart, well versed. And he said he wouldn't have liked the football, but he would have loved the Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah.
House, so. Maybe it's the name Miles. Maybe. That's it's a higher.
It's a very architectural name.
Yeah,
Miles, right? So it could work.
Miles is their Miles is adorable. Your Miles is cute, but this Miles, they texted us a picture. He's a cutie. Oh,
Texter says Mike and Ike's and malt balls. Really, is candy corn next?
I would have taken some
coming
candy
up.
Corn.
Yeah,
I gotta say, our boss Stephanie has candy corn and those pumpkins in her office. Ugh, they're awful.
I know,
those are my favorite.
Oh, I love them.
Really.
I eat them all the time.
I got a bunch of weirdos on the show. It's 7:25.
Hit it.
Let's see the most valuable person on the planet. And do we need a break before we do that? Or we do a quick break? We'll come back and do that next on 7:20 WGN. What am I missing? Mayor Rahm Emanuel coming up. And we will talk about the Bob Woodward book, where there was actual role-playing that went on in the White House to determine if President Trump could tell the truth, and he failed. And then role-playing in front of Bob Mueller, and Mueller went, oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Not making it up, kids.
The White House says alleged.
Not making it up. Bob Woodward has a track record of going after Republicans and Democrats and everybody else. The
Woodward
man doesn't make stuff
is a liar.
Up. So stupid.
And a lot of these interviews were done on tape, so he has recordings yep. of these interviews.
Oh, what are you going to believe? The tape and the actual sound and the audio and the words? Or what they're saying?
Tapes can be edited.
Time for the news, and here
Ooh,
with it...
the MVPP.
Oh, yeah, oh that's right. It's time for the MVPP.
It's a cheese pizza, because it's National Cheese Pizza Day. Mm. And yesterday, I did another episode of Mary Sandra Boyle's Always Hungry, and I went to Soprafina Market Cafe, and I ate pizza, Yum. But I had sausage pizza. But you can see that video at WGNradio.com.
First United States pizza establishment opened in 1905 in Little Italy in New York. It's estimated the annual production of pizza cheese in the United States going 20. Now, it's back 20 years. We must have more current statistics. 20 years ago, what was the annual cheese production in this country? That's right, 2 billion pounds.
And that's the last documented.
Yeah, well, the guy died. The guy died. We ate all that cheese.
In 20 years, they're thinking about it at the federal level. There's just a lot going on right now of a new census. Yeah, how much cheese we eat.
And by the way, coming up on the MVPP, not that Pete's skating, but, you know, he's still living on the fumes of his Pittsburgh and Mason, Ohio trip. National Coffee Ice Cream Day and National Read a Book Day.
That's all today?
That's why, listen, this is why this show is doing so well, I'm telling you.
National Mayor's Up Next Day.
That's it.
The time has come to make another tough choice. As much as I love this job and will always love this city and its residents, I've decided not to seek re-election.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah, Steve Cochran Show continues as Mayor Emanuel is in studio, and he'll join us in just a few seconds. And I just want you to know before we get started, Mayor, that you've changed me. And we're doing a great Apple test now. And I'm trying to find a new Apple because I'm a big Macintosh fan.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find good Macintosh apples. Sandberg tried to sell me on something called the Kanzi. Do you know the Kanzi apple?
Yeah. I'm not a fan. Macintosh. I don't know who's giving you that crap.
One for me and one for you.
You know what? This tells you exactly why yesterday was so worth it. Usually I'm the one that brings the fruits and vegetables right? about right here. Do you have any natural almond peanut butter for that?
Yes. Oh, just spread on it.
Yeah.
But, God, that's let's just try. Now that's an apple.
This is like the beer summit, but an apple summit.
Do I have to actually report this to the Inspector General, the gift?
Not now.
Is that the one for my sister's tree? Is
yep.
a nominee?
Free at last.
Yeah.
That's a Wisconsin apple, by the way.
That is.
Is it?
Yeah.
From a bunch of cheeseheads?
Not bad, though, right?
Yeah. No, it's really good. It's actually really good.
So, anything new with you?
No. You know, the kids are good. They called last night. Anything happening that I should know about?
All right. You were here, I don't know, a month ago? And you were a little frustrated with the day-to-day, but there was no indication that this was on your mind. When was this first on your mind? Mm. By the way, if you're just joining us, Mayor Emanuel is enjoying an apple and no longer running for mayor.
Right.
Those would be your two things that are happening.
Yeah, but I'm also going to be mayor. I was just on the I told the staff, I told my cabinet, we're doing 2.5 years of work in 9 months, so get ready. I already have my to-do list for schools.
You know, that's a great point. You really have the potential to be a nightmare in these last few months to work
liberated. You know, here's actually, it's not radically different. We're going to continue to build on, we just got a host of data on education on both the lowest dropout rate ever and the highest graduation rate ever, the highest math attainment. About 60% of our kids are now at or above their grade level in math, 61% in reading. And we're going to build all that, and we'll continue to make the tough decisions so those kids have a better future. Well, that's going to be true about the economics. But
the decision. The decision. You love this city. You love this. And I know you still love the city, but that's why I was so surprised to hear you weren't staying in.
So here's the thing. Doesn't mean there's a lot of different ways to serve and a lot of different ways to advance an agenda. I'll give you two anecdotes to illustrate the point.
Okay.
When I got to Congress, all of a sudden I got into net leadership, and I'm running around the country recruiting candidates and trying to take back the House, and I'm running around. And the responsibility, maybe, which explains why the kids turned out well, really fell on Amy. President Obama then asked me to be chief of staff, I leave, go to Washington, and Amy and the kids don't come for another 6 months, so our kids can finish school, and I'm going back and forth. Not exactly easy times in the
country. Can't imagine. It's a lot of stress on a marriage.
All of a sudden, a year and a half later, a year and a half later, I'm moving back to Washington, and Amy and the kids, at the start of their school year, spend the next 12 months, 9 months in school, et cetera, before they move back to join. In the White House, I said to President Obama, okay, we're going to do the health care. I've given you my best advice about how to do this. But one request, it does not fall on Zach's bar mitzvah. And, you know, the prayers are done, the haftorah is done, the Torah is done, and I'm running out, not even doing the wine and candles.
Literally.
Literally go to back to my office to get the last 10 votes in the House to pass it. Some point, and I don't regret having helped pass health care. I don't regret any of those decisions. It's an honor to serve.
But you've been doing 7 days a week for a long time.
For 23 years. Mm-hmm. And through impeachments, through passing assault weapon ban, after all this. And I love this city. I love the job, and I love the people. And I love the to and fro of politics. But in a conversation over 3 months or four, quiet walks on the beach, dinner alone when we went to visit, Amy and I went to see Cindy and John McCain at their home in Arizona, different moments that we could escape. Amy would said, I'm in, which is what I love about her. Another 4 years, you want to do it, we'll do it.
Yeah, total support.
But at a certain point, you have to be honest, there's all these things in 27 years of marriage that you've asked somebody to delay and defer. And if you have the option to give back and say, okay, because for the first time, our personal lives synced up with my professional life, or my professional life synced up with our personal life, we are now, as of Monday, empty nesters. And in 6 months, I could run or not run for re-election. And that was a choice, not an obligation. And I owe us.
Well,
we're
young enough and healthy enough. I thought you put it well yesterday when you said, "Look, it's a job of a lifetime, but it's not a job for a lifetime."
And in the end, in the end of the day, I've struggled to make sure we get universal full day kindergarten for all children, not some. Universal full day pre-K for all children, not some. A full day for all children. That's about 4 more years for them. It's not about my 4 years. And I love this job. It is really a great job. And it's the best job I've ever had in public life. And I've had a run of them. That said, you know, and I will continue to be an active citizen because here's the thing. Everybody always talks about politicians. I was in my conversation with President Clinton and President Obama about this, about, you know, oh, this politician's good, this politician's bad, whatever. You know, you need good citizens.
Right. Because okay, that's where
know,
it starts.
You need really good citizens, right. And citizenship is a verb. And I plan on being a very, I'm not going to go back and say, to be quiet, I'm going to raise issues. I'm going to talk about issues.
But see, that's what I'm talking about. Because here's the thing. I completely respect what you're talking about with your family and your marriage. And nobody's business but yours. And I get it. I really do.
I really appreciate that because about 200 people a day outside the house don't think that.
Well, I get that. But,
I really appreciate that you respect that.
No, I totally get that. Having said that, I also know that you don't rise to your level without, and by the way, you don't rise to the level of hosting a show on WGN without an ego, without believing that you are the best person for that job.
Yeah.
So at a time when I believe this, and I'm not, this is not guilt, this is just facts, at a time where I believe
I have 2,000 years of preparation for Jewish guilt. I can handle guilt.
The city, I believe, needs you, and was that...
Is that an endorsement?
Yes, I'm endorsing the fact that you're no longer in the race.
Can I reconsider right here on the show?
The city needs you. The country needs a major help right now. Yeah. It feels like this would be the toughest time for you to go away.
Well, that actually was a consideration. I mean, I feel the way... So here, on this side, the left side of my brain was all the personal things that were pulling. On the right side was this moral obligation to see the job through. Not that I was the best person the public would to make that decision, but this obligation where people were relying on me from labor, community groups, business, our civic life, our artistic life as a former dancer that I take important for the value of a city and its own kind of soul. That said, that's what kept pulling me back into the arena. But, you know, part of...
clock ran out when it ran out.
No, part of life is also knowing, you know, I have done my job. And there's a baton to be handed. And I do, here's what I think in my end. Everybody will take the bookends. What was the world I walked into? What was the world I left?
Sure.
Some will be better, some will not.
Right.
Some will have moved sideways. I get that. That's life. But I guarantee, at least in the areas of the economics and fiscal and education, and in investments in our youth overall, whoever comes next is going to say, thank God he was crazy enough to do that because I don't have to.
Well, that's
I'll give you an example. They're going to go, you know, we got $450 million more every year from Springfield, finally.
Uh-huh.
Richard J. Daley went down to Springfield to beg. We finally resolved equitable funding of education. I don't think my predecessor, my successor is going to say, send that check back to Springfield. We don't need it.
If they do, that's a problem.
Yeah, well, then the voters will have picked the wrong
person.
My end of the day, I have laid my foundation, and I really believe people will not go back on pre-K, won't go back on kindergarten, won't go back to allowing cigarette companies to sell products near our kids, won't go back...
No, because you've done a lot of the heavy lifting.
Mentoring. They will.
Yeah, no, I get that. Okay. I get that. But when we come back, I want you to tell me who is up for who's up to the job. Who is going to take the seat? Who is going to be...
Well, it definitely shouldn't be a media personality. They don't have the discipline.
I got to tell you right now. I got to tell you, based on what we've seen in the last year and a half, it might be tough for a media personality to win right now.
I actually want to talk about what's the next 9 months. I got some ideas, but we'll talk about whatever you want. It's your show, and I kind of feel, you know, I didn't realize you like apples.
We're also going to have to know if the podcast is going to continue the Chicago way.
Of course.
Okay, good.
You want to come on?
Good. Yeah, I'd like to have another swing at that. Yeah,
yeah,
as a matter
because,
of fact.
You know, low ratings on that show.
Wow, I didn't know that. Oh,
come here, come
depressing.
On, let me hug it out.
I believe the ratings on this show are really strong.
I would love to see, you know, that picture of Mayor Khan from London in the bikini over. I think we should do one of Cochran.
In a two-piece?
In a two-piece.
That'd be a hot look for me.
Or would you prefer like kind of a more kind of...
Modest? No.
Lululemon.
It's a hot look for me, especially late in the summer.
I think the new Svelte Steve is the thing, man.
Getting there. It's 7:52. We'll ask the mayor who's next. We'll also ask him what he hopes for the city going forward. And we'll ask him if he wants to be president. You know, stuff like that.
No.
Don't answer till the break.
The job of a lifetime. But it is not a job for a lifetime. You hire us to get things done.
and pass the torch when you've done our best to do what you hired us to do.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Coming up, more stories that matter. Steve Gozanich will join us from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio in a second. Mayor Emanuel's here. Yesterday, he had a little surprise for us when he announced he's no longer seeking re-election. And one of the things that people are saying is the trial, the McDonald trial starts, and you don't want to be any part of that. My point was, when somebody brought that up, is you're still the mayor.
Yeah.
This thing starts now, so whether you're in the race or not, that doesn't matter. But that's one of the things that's come up.
And look, here's the thing. I'm the mayor. I'm going to see through later on today. Like always, I have my weekly meeting with the Chicago Police Department leadership, and we're going to make sure that the city keeps moving, and there's an ability for people to express their views outside the courtroom. But I'm still the mayor, and that has nothing to do with it. This is a personal decision.
But when some might say that the timing is precarious, this idea that you
Think I planned my daughter's drop off at college around this?
No, I don't think so. But the question being that this is a huge moment in Chicago. There's a lot of political ramifications. There's stuff that's going to come out in the trial. So you tell us right here that that has nothing to do with your decision to not run for real. The other question that comes up is about who and Steve had teased to this as well about who might be next. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions about, have you talked with your political allies, your fundraisers, about a succession plan, about some other candidate that's not in the race right now that may be someone who
would know?
Of course, yeah.
No, so here's
I think the people of Chicago would like to know.
How about this? Is the next mayor of Chicago already in the race?
No. That's not my,
No, they're not, or no, you're not answering the question?
It depends what the word is means. What is the meaning of his?
Is the next mayor here's the thing. In the race yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And I think here's the thing. The public knows that this is a very big job.
Yeah.
And the mayor cannot be a one-trick pony. You can't just speak on one issue. You got to do economic development. You got to do education policy. You got to be able to get money out of Springfield and Washington. You got to have an ability to actually invest in our neighborhoods, transportation, library, schools, and park system. You got to deliver neighborhood services. I mean, one of the things we're doing by the end of the year, we're taking the 311 from a landline system to a mobile technology, and that is a key part of you got to do it all. Okay. You got to make sure when there's a snow, it gets plowed. And you got to have an idea about schools. So my view is the voters are going to, their candidate or mayoral candidates is not, the list is not done. It's going to shake out for about a month. And then the voters will make a smart decision of who can fill that office. And what I mean by that is you're not going to shrink the mayoralty. And there's got to be a mayor that actually fills this job and has the personality, the vision, and the guts to get it done, whether it's tightening up the fiscal picture, ensuring that we continue to build on the educational gains we've seen in the last 7 years, or making sure that we get the investments we need throughout the city.
For there'll be a lot of talk about your legacy, what kind of mayor you had in two terms you were here. Mm-hmm. You've already, in this conversation, talked about some of the things that you will hang your hat on. Mm-hmm. For you, what are some of the things that you would consider failures? That you did not do well as a mayor?
Well, I think not to do this, but the biggest thing will be what I've done for kids. And
it's an undeniable success, but what's one you want back?
The back is, it's clear, is not having people kill people in their own neighborhood and community. It's in their own parts of, I can give you parts of the city that are as safe as Manhattan, Los Angeles, and I give you other parts. It's just, and I will grapple. I understand poverty. I understand all the conditionality that goes into them, but it's not determinative. It's influential, but not determinative. And I will never get the idea that somebody can walk an 11-year-old off a basketball court, walk him 100 feet,
and shoot him
into an alley as retribution.
It's unbelievable.
To corner their father. And at no point in that 100 feet does a moral voice go off and say, what I'm being asked to do is wrong. And that's not conditionality. That's not environment. Although those are influential, they're not determinative. In the end of the day, you cannot walk away from individual's decision. And I think one of the things that's harshest on my soul is I ultimately believe in the goodness of human nature. I do. What I don't understand is evil. And we have to come to terms that there is places where evil exists. And that, to me, now, to me, that's taking your question farther than you want. But to me, the thing that I will, and it's part of my responsibility, is to make sure that children know laughter, not gunfire. And
They ought to be able to be kids.
And I don't know, you can say it's my fault. I think it's bigger than me. But I'm here, mayor, and I'm responsible, and I take a responsibility for it.
Well, and it does come back to the office, fairly or unfairly. Have we got time for one more segment with you?
I'm fine. As long as I don't have to eat another apple.
All right. I thought you liked the apple.
No, I don't. I would like to actually get my Big Shoulders coffee again, but they only, one cup of it. I made a mistake.
Yeah. We'll get you out of here in the next few minutes because you still have a city to run. But let's come back and do that, and we'll get the news in just a second on 720 WGN.
For the last 7 years... For the last 7.5 years, I've given my all every day and left everything on the field. This commitment has required significant sacrifice all around. Now, with our 3 children in college, Amy and I have decided it's time to write another chapter together.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Mayor Emanuel is here, announced yesterday he will not seek re-election. He hasn't told us yet who the new mayor is going to be. Having said that...
I think that's the voter's choice.
It is?
Yeah.
Will you run for office again?
Probably not.
But isn't the door's not closed, as we say?
Well, I think I'm 58, and it's crazy to say that. And somebody said, well, you said that at that time. I don't know, but I can't imagine after Congress and mayor running for another office because it has to be intellectually stimulating. It has to be a place that you can make a difference, and that's what I'm interested in doing.
Probably not.
I think I said that earlier, but you made me explain it. Probably not. Thanks for summing up what I just said, Steve, with such eloquence and clarity.
Somebody's got to drive.
Your ability to observe the obvious.
Somebody's
got to
take the ship.
How much they pay you here?
It's $15 an hour. It's going well for me. It took me a while to get to the number.
Not $15, $12. That's the
$15.
It's minimum $12.10.
$12.10, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. President, will you run for president?
No.
Never.
Not a chance.
Because you've been there, you've seen it, and you don't want to be a part of it.
I've done 8 years at the highest level as a chief of staff and at the highest level a staff person can do. And that's not where I want to go. I actually believe municipalities, local government are the places you can still put your thumb on the scale.
Yeah.
It starts local. It does. And I'll give you one of the things that touches my life most about my tenure as mayor is the free community college. The Chicago Star Scholarship, if you get a B average, we make it free. And if you keep the B average, every university gives you a discount. Because in the end of the day, no middle-class family should have their children's future either in debt or because they have to take a second mortgage or a second job. And to me, that's going to be the thing. 72% of the kids that take it are the first ones in their family to go to college. And to me, of all my tenure in public life, that's one of the top 5 things I think I've done to tilt the scales towards a more equitable future.
Yesterday, the papers and a lot of the media that responded and had analysis to what will be your legacy referred to you as a downtown mayor, as someone who did well for downtown Chicago, see the cranes and the economic opportunity here downtown, but did not do as much for the neighborhoods. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, no, I don't agree with it because in the end of the day, everything that we try to do to meet every opportunity and solve every problem is in our classrooms, and you can't have the type of gains that we're making in reading, graduation, international baccalaureate programs in our schools that is not part of the neighborhoods. And so, in the end of the day, here's my view. I'm not really interested in what people say on day one. It's not why, I'm reminded of what Teddy Roosevelt said about the critic versus the people in the arena. For people that sit on the outside have never actually had the guts to get in the arena and try to make something happen.
Jump in the pool.
No, they're people who live within the cozy comfort of a column, I don't really have a lot for. And so what I would say to you is, as time goes, people will, things will settle in and you'll be able to get a perspective. I know where the mentoring program is. It's in our kids' lives that are out throughout the city of Chicago. I know where our summer jobs and after school investments are. I know where kindergarten is taught. I know where pre-K is taught. I know where we ban cigarettes and the habit for children. And I know where our international baccalaureate. Those are all in the neighborhoods. I know where the red line is, and I know where President Obama's library is going to be, and I know where Whole Foods is in Englewood. I don't want to go down this list, but let me say this. I'm proud that our Central Business District is growing and thriving because it gives us the revenue to invest in our kids' lives. And without a thriving Central Business District, no city is a world-class city. And to pit, once again, for everybody to just pit one side against the other means that they're...
Why do you think they do that?
I mean, hold on.
Sentiment, though.
Because it's, in my view, that fits an old paradigm. If you're going to be a world-class city, and one of the things I'm proud also of is we've made the Central Business District a revenue source to invest in our children and in our families and in our retail businesses in the neighborhood. And I think as time settles and you are done with trying to make political points, my guess, like the Neighborhood Opportunity Fund we created, I don't think anybody's going to actually get rid of it. In fact, I think they're going to build on it because it's innovative and different.
And if I know politics, take credit for it. I know we're over time here.
What a shock.
We're over time here, but...
We're not over time. There's no overtime when it comes to you.
To the Steve Cochran Show?
You lovable little character, you. You are so cute.
Thanks, I see that.
Yeah. I look at cute, I see Steve Cochran.
You look it up in the dictionary, it's hard to argue. Okay.
How could there be an overtime in the affection I have for you, Steve?
Well, that's very nice of you. And it's
I actually should have changed the speech. I've come to a point in my relationship with Amy. I want to spend more time with Steve Cochran. Now, we would have gotten the whole legacy to be written in a whole different way.
There would have been a discussion about your own mental health, let alone the guy in the White House. What's one thing, I promise I'll let you go, but what's one thing you didn't know when you took this job that you would like the next mayor of Chicago to know?
Well, that's a fair question, which I will answer later, because I'm going to leave a note in the desk for the next mayor, and I will give him that guidance. I am determined to make sure that the transition works, that they are going to be happy, that every department is set, ready, they can hit the ground running with their team. But there's a lot depending. First of all, whoever comes with whatever experience, that's not going to be what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to try to give them things that they don't know about their own experience. In the same way, I didn't have certain knowledge about certain things that come with this job. And I used to say, I said this to President Clinton. It was in the first year of his second term. If we knew in the first year of the first term what we knew by the first year of our second term, we'd be geniuses. And there's nothing that you can do, guide, help, advocate.
You got to.
But
get
at the end
yourself.
Of the day, you got to get in the chair, in the cockpit seat, and only you can learn it. And you have to have the judgment and the capacity both to learn and distinguish between which balls you swing at and which balls you let go.
And make your decisions and live with them.
Totally.
Appreciate it very much, and I look forward to continuing the conversation as we go forward. There's people that can line up all day and take swings at you. I think the city's better for your service, and I appreciate that as well.
Thank you, Steve.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
It is 8:24. Dean Richards joins us. Oh, this is Moron Entertainment, sponsored by the fine people at Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center.
As always, a great conversation with the mayor.
Next time he's in, I'd like to have you jump on and talk about the arts, because am I wrong about this? Has he had a positive impact on arts in this time?
Totally. Completely. There are certainly, more serious issues facing the city, but, lots of us would argue that sort of the dimension of a city is filled out by a solid arts program. It's like arts programs in schools. You're not, quote, need them, but you do need them.
I agree.
They fill out and round out the personality of a city. Barbara Gaines from the Chicago Shakespeare Theater is in the paper today talking about how supportive he has been of the arts community. I see him at the theater all the time. He is definitely a theater-going mayor.
The only person I know, that goes out more than Mayor Emanuel, and by goes out I mean goes to stuff, is Stephanie, the woman that helps run this place. And she apparently sleeps 14 minutes a night upside down in fashionable shoes.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
She did reveal a secret to me, though. Like, she'll go to the opera, she goes to all the Broadway shows, but a lot of times she leaves at intermission, so she doesn't see the ends of them.
Well, I suppose you were going to start going out at night now that you weren't up at night. How's that working out?
Has not happened. Last night was a record. I was in by 9 o'clock. I was in bed by 9 o'clock.
Wow.
This is why she thinks Old Yeller was a comedy.
Right, because he never saw the end?
Babies.
Dean, by the way, sleeps 14 minutes a night in not unfashionable shows.
I have never left a play or movie, and I've seen some pretty horrific ones. I've never walked out.
Yeah, well, thank God you're there doing the work. We don't have to.
Yeah, I seem so you don't have to, but...
I literally have walked out of one play. Name it.
Sound of Music.
Nope.
Cats.
Cats, exactly right. I walked out of Cats.
I sat through Cats.
I sat through
that horrific production of Best Little Whorehouse in Texas where Anne Margaret came on stage and didn't know where she was.
That's awful.
I got to like the last 10 minutes of Cats, and I said, if they don't roll a scratching post out in about 10 seconds and let these cats have some fun and get out of here.
You commit that long, you got to stay. But the mayor, you know, Lollapalooza didn't start under Mayor Emanuel, but it certainly flourished under him.
Right.
And, you know, for all the pain and the neck that it is for all the traffic disruption,
it brings
a lot of money into the city of Chicago. James Beard Awards have made Chicago home for the last several years.
Justin's won two of those. I don't know if you had a chance
to
talk about
the mayor. I do know that. They're thinking of renaming him the Justin Kaufman Award. Who has a beard?
Who has a beard?
Justin Kaufman's beard.
You know, the Uptown Theater that's been sitting vacant for decades is going to be, you know, rehabbed thanks to programs that were put into effect by the mayor. Theater on the Lake, that has been a big white elephant on the lakefront for years, has just recently reopened and it's hugely successful. I mean, the list goes on and on of neighborhood. You know, you guys were talking about how he's the downtown mayor. Neighborhood programs, arts programs, you know, free movies, both downtown and in the neighborhoods, because of Mayor Emanuel. You know, there are certainly, you know, plenty of things you could say on both sides, but I agree with Steve 100% that the city is better off today than when he took office.
All of the terrible stuff we continue to deal with is stuff that will be fixed over time, and it falls on the mayor's desk because it should, but it doesn't mean one person can wave their hand over it and fix it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a very honest answer when he talked about the violence in the city. You know, that's the one that he'll always live with, that you know, cannot be fixed because you got to deal with evil. Evil that you can't understand. All right, with that happy note, how's Tyler Perry doing?
Tyler Perry's doing very well. Just ask him and he'll tell you. But yesterday we told you about the actor from The Cosby Show who played Elvin.
He was the husband of the oldest sister.
Right, the in-law on the show, and how he was spotted with his now day job as a bagger at Trader Joe's. Somebody took a picture of him, started job-shaming him on the web. It went viral. It was, you know, an attempt to humiliate this guy.
Yeah, you know, people suck. Look, actors work extra jobs. He's not a big star. I mean, come on.
His response
is working,
though.
The guy's working.
Yeah.
Yeah, leave him alone.
More viral hit on how he responded to that than the actual story, I thought.
So Tyler Perry gave him a job?
Tyler Perry saw the story and has offered him a job in a TV movie that he's making for the Oprah Network.
About grocery guys?
It's nothing to do with groceries. But to his credit, Jeffrey Owens said he appreciates the audition. He doesn't want any handouts. He's happy to come and audition And if he's qualified for it, you know, he's happy to take the job.
And he also said, as Justin said, that you should be proud of any work you're doing. Being an actor is no better than a bagger.
Yeah, that's what he said. And he's so right. The idea of, and Dean, you know this, I mean, acting is, it's a labor. There's a lot of work that goes into it. You're working a lot of hours, and obviously we see it as Hollywood saying, oh, they're rich and famous, but there's a lot that goes into it, and sometimes it's just a job.
Well, John and I know a guy that did stand-up with us a couple weeks ago, who I just met for the first time, who works a 40-hour-plus day job, but he loves stand-up, and he's trying to get a stand-up career going. It's like anything in show business, or anything in the world that matters, that you got to do two jobs to get to the one you love.
Yeah, that's why I have a real estate side job.
His side hustle.
It's my side hustle.
What are you going to say, John?
Dean, is the title of that new TV show going to be Tyler Perry Presents?
Tyler Perry Presents Guys Who Were Working the Grocery Aisle That Used to Be Stars on TV. That's the show.
Okay. Steve is reading that.
630, I love actual cats, but I hated the show, and I wished I could have left, too.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
I didn't like it, but I stayed.
No charges against Kevin Spacey or Steven Seagal. You know, Steven Seagal, have criminal charges ought to be filed against him for his career.
Well, that's the truth. But there were sexual allegations made against him. There are tons of sexual allegations made against Kevin Spacey. Certain charges from the 1990s in the Los Angeles area are not going to be filed against either of them. It's because of statute of limitations issues. The office says that they're reviewing other allegations that have been made about them, but these a handful of cases in which time ran out, not going to. Did you know that in Los Angeles they have a sex crimes task force?
I did not.
Especially to handle that. Right?
That's on ABC, right?
It sounds like a show, doesn't it?
It's got to be the busiest office in the LA Police Department.
I would think. Wizard of Oz slippers, you stole them and somebody found them?
They were stolen from the Judy Garland Museum. So I can't even tell you the number of times that Steve and I have gone there for a little weekend getaway.
Oh, totally. Come on.
And it's in... maybe
try the shoes on. They're a little snug, but, oh, I feel
maybe,
pretty.
You know, you knock the heels together and, you know, your wish comes true.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually in Minnesota.
The Yellow Brick Road.
Maybe you actually know where this is.
I do know where it is, actually.
Judy Garland Museum in Minnesota.
Yeah.
They were stolen. The ruby, one of the pair of that were used in the movie were stolen in 2005. Yesterday, Steve, they were discovered and recovered. And the FBI says that they have recovered the shoes in an undercover operation in the Minneapolis area.
Where do you think you are on the totem pole that you are the guy that gets the gig to run down the Wizard of Oz slippers?
It's a very important job, Steve. Crime is crime.
Crime is crime.
Crime is crime.
And let's end with some good news. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who is just like everybody else who goes through this, has bravely battled the cancer that she has been dealing with, is coming back to Veep.
Yeah, she's definitely going to be coming back to Veep.
That's great.
Shortly after she got her last Emmy Award, six of them now, for her roles on that show, she got a diagnosis of breast cancer. She went through treatment and was interviewed yesterday and said, I feel good, I feel strong, I've got lots of energy, back to my old tricks like I never left. And said that she is now working as an advocate for cancer awareness, a fundraising T-shirt that is being sold at Saks Fifth Avenue. And the money for all of that goes to breast reconstruction for women after they have mastectomies.
It's a great story.
Yeah, nice
story. By the way, I heard Jason Alexander tell a great story that I had never heard before about one of my favorite Seinfeld episodes, The Marine Biologist.
Great episode. That's great.
They shoot the marine biologist. They get to the end, and they wrap. And then somebody comes up with an idea, and it may have been Larry David, because Larry ended up writing the new scene. And he writes that speech that George does at the end. The sea was angry that day, my friends.
Yeah.
Because he had tied the fact into Kramer being a golfer. Kramer hits a ball in the whale's blowhole. George is pretending to be a marine biologist to impress a girl. He wades into the water to pull the golf ball out of the blowhole. Yeah. It's tremendous.
A great episode.
One of the best.
It was written in less than 15 minutes, and they did it in one take.
Is that a Titleist?
Right, exactly.
Even down to the jacket George is wearing in that scene, it's so like nerdy, tremendous. Like L.L. Bean jacket. And one thing, when I saw that Julie Louise Dreyfus thing, Dean, and she's selling a T-shirt at Saks, I was like, not that many people go to Saks for T-shirts, but...
Can't you get $120 T-shirts at
Saks? You can, yeah, but I mean, if you wanted a broader scope.
This would be one case where it'd be worth paying $120.
Yeah,
I know that's expensive, but it's a donation for breast cancer in women who have to have reconstruction and can't afford it.
Yeah,
this is going to probably surprise a lot of you. I'm a little confused by fashion. I know that's a shock to many of you, but walk through, you know, the men's store in Nordstrom here, and I'll see easily $100, $150 T-shirts. Am I supposed to feel better wearing that? I'm just curious. I mean, what's the point of the $150
T-shirt? You're supposed
t-shirt?
To feel European.
So snooty and bitchy?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. We need a break? No, we do not. We're going right to the headlines. Thank you, Dean.
See ya.
How does one go about learning the playbook? You know, if you want to play.
Absolutely.
One day, like, what do you do? Who do you get with?
I mean, that's why I can't be here for long. I got to go look. I got to go talk to the coaches and figure it out. I got to go make sure I grab this playbook. had a playbook in my hand for like 2 seconds and was about to sit down, but couldn't sit down and had to do interviews and keep moving and meet coaches and meet everybody.
I've been working with Khalil Mack. Khalil, pay attention.
How's it going?
It's not bad. I tell him, you know, play the zero gap as much as you can because a lot of stuff's coming your way.
Go get the quarterback.
And he said, what's the zero gap? And I go, oh, man, we got some issues here. Adam Hogue joins us. Good morning, Adam.
I believe you're referring to the A gap.
No, it used to be the zero gap when I played.
The 70s, it was the zero gap. Yeah.
They morning, changed guys. It. Morning. All right, but listen, we always play Stump Adam Hogue for prizes. I have a $50 gift card to Bartolini's Restaurant Catering Banquets. You know, that's the home of the 10-pound meatball sandwich challenge, where if you get a 10-pound meatball sandwich, you win stuff. And you get a free ride to the hospital. Bartolini's.com. Great stuff. Bartolini's.com. All right. So just call now, 312-981-7200. A question about anything but football. And if you stump Adam Hogue, it can't be about football. Anything but football. And if you stump Adam Hogue, you'll win. Nice. Okay? You know, it's prediction time, Adam Hogue. And, you know, everybody asks you about the Bears' wins and losses and who's going to win the North. Hey, give me a prediction from the NFL this year that maybe is not a one I'd expect from you.
So every year I like to make one big prediction, and this one actually does tie into this weekend's game. But last year my big prediction was that Dak Prescott was going to take a big step back and the Cowboys weren't going to be nearly as good as
everyone thought. You nailed it.
This year my big prediction is that Mike McCarthy will not be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers come January.
Whoa.
So prescient.
I believe they are one Aaron Rodgers injury away from having a top five pick in the NFL draft next year. Now, hopefully he doesn't get hurt. I don't wish that on anyone, and I actually enjoy watching number 12.
You sure?
So, assuming he still plays the whole season, I still think they're middle of the pack at best. And more importantly, they've set up their front office in a way this year. They made a lot of changes where if they don't make the playoffs, Mike McCarthy's going to become the fall guy, and their new general manager is going to make a change.
Adam, why do you think that the national media has the Packers, in some cases, going to the Super Bowl? Is it just Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I think it's the look, Rodgers didn't play most of last year. They weren't horrible. They weren't good enough to make the playoffs, obviously. And so I think a lot of people are just assuming, all right, Aaron Rodgers is back. And then they added Jimmy Graham. That's a great red zone target. They added Mo Wilkerson on defense.
They also lost Jordy Nelson.
But my view of this is actually looking at it from the Bears' perspective from like 4, 5, 6 years ago when they're trying to plug big holes with free agents, which is a new strategy for them, one they haven't used much in the past. And we learned here in quickly in Chicago that doesn't work. You can't fill holes with expensive free agents. They are just old, and they almost never work out.
And you know why I'm laughing, because the Bears just did that this week with the trade, of course, for one of the best defensive players in football.
Well, right, and that's what's a little different. They're not getting a guy who... look, the fool's goal...
Jared Allen, right.
Yeah, the fool's goal of free agency is there's a reason why they're just letting this guy walk away, right? Now, in this case, they weren't letting him walk away. They got 2 first-round picks back. I'm talking about the Raiders. Now, and they were in a unique situation where they had already made Derek Carr the highest paid quarterback in football until other people signed like Aaron Rodgers, and they really couldn't afford to pay him. So was it stupid? Yes, I think it was stupid, but the Bears in this case are benefiting, and the guy's still 27, and he's one of the best 3 defensive players in all of football.
So this deal, which, you know, those who want to be naysayers, and I think we know the naysayers, we're having them on next hour, the naysayers would say you gave up too much. I don't know how you could say that about the guy you just described. I mean, he's a must-have guy if he's available.
Yeah, let's look at it this way, okay? We can go through any 2-year stretch of first-round draft picks with the Chicago Bears, and you're really never going to find 2 that worked out, right? I mean, maybe 1, but rarely ever 2 in a row. Hopefully that is the case with Mitch Trubisky and Roquan Smith, but we'll have to wait and see. The point being, chances are over the next 2 years with the first round picks, let's also consider this team should be better. So these top 10 picks the Bears have had in recent years, they're probably going to be more in the teens, or, you know, ideally they're making the playoffs soon and they're in the 20s. So they're not going to be high first round picks, and they're still probably not going to hit on both of them. That's just like the law of averages in the NFL. So if you could take 2 first-round picks and turn it into as close to a sure thing as there is in football, which there never is a sure thing, but we're talking about a guy who's already established, again, still only 27, one of the top three best defensive players. And oh, by the way, Ryan Pace somehow managed to get a second round pick back, which I cannot believe that happened, because the Raiders are going to be bad. I guarantee you in 2020 that is a high second round pick, and it could even be within like 5-6 picks of wherever the Bears pick is if they continue to get better.
And this is not the Herschel Walker trade. I mean, you didn't basically take every draft pick you have and throw it at Oakland,
right? So. And you build, the misconception is that you build the top end of your team with first round picks. The good teams build depth in the middle rounds, okay? When's the last time the Patriots had a top 10 pick that wasn't acquired via trade? Right? They haven't had one in 20 years, and they're still good every year. You still have to hit on your middle round picks, and the Bears are still going to have those.
Adam, you watch a lot of film. I love that you get really into the X's and the O's. What makes Khalil Mack so successful as an outside linebacker?
Well, let's just look at this weekend, okay? So we don't know what his conditioning level is going to be. We don't know even if he's going to be able to play the whole game. I feel very confident he's going to play at some point.
Which is amazing in its own right.
Right, and should be on the field in key downs. The reason being, let's just look at last year, okay? Akeem Hicks, for one, on the defensive line, I think he's one of the most underrated players in all of football, was constantly double-teamed, still put up big numbers, should have been in the Pro Bowl, and got snubbed, all right? Well, then you have Leonard Floyd on the other side, who is going to have a club on his hand this weekend, so let's not forget that. He broke his hand, but he's going to be out there, and a lot of people think he's able to get a breakout season this year. Well, I'm not sure that would have happened if he was getting all the attention. Now Khalil Mack's out there. Just his presence alone. Let's say he gets zero sacks Sunday night in Green Bay, Khalil Mack now. Still, he's drawing all that attention, and Leonard Floyd is better off. Akeem Hicks is better off. Eddie Goldman, the nose tackle, is better off. This is going to make the whole defense better just by him standing out there on the field at Lambeau on Sunday night.
Did he get all of the stats that he's acquired, Defensive Player of the Year, everything, with teams already planning against him, with the double teams in place? I mean, is this a guy who beats double teams?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's one clip going around Twitter this week where he was triple teamed and split it and sacked, I think it was Brock Osweiler, which he's not too hard to sack. But it is hard to go through three guys last I checked. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Other than Aaron Rodgers, who on the Packers is going to hurt the Bears potentially this weekend?
That's a good question,
first day.
It goes back to, like, who is catching the ball for this team? Who are the running backs? I'm just not impressed with their depth chart at all. I don't know why they're getting Super Bowl hype. I really don't get it. But obviously Jimmy Graham's a problem. He's older, but this will be usually Jimmy Graham, if you look at his career, he's a guy who declines as the season goes along because he gets beat up. This is week one, so he should be fresh. He's going to be a matchup problem. To answer your question, Steve, I go with Jimmy Graham, especially in the red zone.
Dave gets the last football question, and then it's time to stump poke.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. The defending champ in this division is not Green Bay. It's Minnesota Vikings, right. who went out and got the quarterback they felt they needed and got two of them, as a matter of fact. But Kirk Cousins being the guy, they got the running back is back and healthy from a year ago. I mean, who should the Bears be most? Obviously, they're always going to be worried first about the Packers because that's their rival. But if you look at this division, where do the Bears now fit in the pecking order in the NFC North?
Yeah, so I get the hype this week. It's warranted, and I'm actually a Bears optimist this year. I think they're going to take a big step forward. The problem is the NFC is stacked, and the division that the Bears are in, just the NFC North alone, is pretty good. I think there's a chance they could finish in second. I think it's hard-pressed to think that they could beat out the Vikings, who still have the best defense in the division, even though I think the Bears' defense will be very good. As much as I'm not a huge Kirk Cousins fan, I understand why they went out and gave him the money they did, because that's the piece they really needed, was a stable quarterback, and that's what Kirk Cousins is. And Dalvin Cook, the running back, comes back. They're going to be very, very tough to beat. And then if you start looking at the wild card situation, which it's week one, so we don't have to dive into it too much, but the NFC North, or excuse me, the NFC is much better than the AFC. So for the Bears to sneak in as a wild card, it's going to be really hard this year.
We're out of time, but Mike, prepare your resume, and because Hogue is never wrong, except when we do Stump Hogue, and I don't believe you've ever gotten a Stump Hogue question correct.
No, I think I'm always wrong yes. in this game.
So if it's not about football, Stump Hogue, 708, beat the caller in, so we'll go with the texter here. What was Gilligan's first name on Gilligan's Island?
No idea.
I'm no idea is incorrect.
Okay.
Gilligan's first name was never actually revealed, though rumors have existed for years that it was Willie, and some say Bob Denver revealed that on a talk show, though he never said the name on the air. All in all, you're wrong.
It's close to a no idea.
Yeah, see, I think I'm right.
I think you're in the ballpark.
No one has any idea.
Yeah, I got to go with you. Still wrong. The texter wins a $50 gift card to Bartolini's Restaurant Catering and Banquets, the Bartolini 10. Use code Bartolini10. You get $10 off your shipping order at Bartolini's.com. Look forward to all your information all year long, buddy.
All right, have a good day, everybody.
Thanks, all right, there you go. That's Adam Hogue.
Listening to that, that's tough. It may change my preseason prediction. It's going to be hard. I say 12-4.
Just 12-4?
13-3.
That seems conservative.
13-3 or 12-4. That's where I think we're at.
We're getting Bartolini's on Friday, just so you know.
What made you cave?
I know. Aren't I lucky?
Lucky? You've got weak on me? What's going on?
No, because they're a sponsor, and they wanted to bring it in.
Okay. And coming up, the great Apple test, Orion Samuelson, and maybe even match game. Oh, and in just a second, I don't even like the looks of this. I just looked up. The coach is on the phone. Oh. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Gazanich from Northwestern Medicine's newsroom on WGN Radio. I guess it's talking football, right? I mean, that's when the coach calls. The old ball coach standing by. Let me go to the phone. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Cochran.
Nice to hear from you. Excited about another football season?
Oh, yeah. Can't wait, Cochran. This is so much fun to see people lose again.
Well, don't you have a lot of faith in the Bears this year?
Are they even in the NFL anymore?
Wow. Hardcore. What do you think of Khalil Mack? That guy's pretty good.
No, he ain't a player. That's on the menu at McDonald's.
That's not Khalil Mack. No, that's not true. You know, there's talk that Bears may look to me for information on how to make the team better. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you ain't the dumbest person on the planet, Cochran, but you better hope that guy don't die.
Hey, did you hear the mayor on earlier?
Yeah, I like the mayor. He's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to vote for him.
Okay, congratulations. I wish you luck in that. Spend some time in the voting booth. Well, who do you like in the NFL this year?
My guess is it'll be the Chicago Fire.
Why? Why would you say that? That's a soccer team.
No, it ain't a soccer team. Their quarterback, Virgil Carter, is awesome.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. All right, now listen, Coach. Back in your day, players in the early days of camp, they had to hit. What do you think of this new softer training camp?
That's the problem of any football. When we played, first of all, we didn't have no helmets. Second of all, everybody carried a 2x4.
Is that right? That was tough. How do you think
you
I would have
hit? You got hit.
How do you think I would have done in that environment?
Oh, you would have done good. You don't need no helmet.
I don't.
Your head looks like a giant bubble.
Don't think that's very nice. All right, Coach, you got time for one more. What do you got?
Well, you know, I hope your wife brings a date to your funeral.
Oh, God. Wow. Wow. All right, Coach. Hey, have a great day.
So inspiring.
Yeah, whatever, Cochran.
You need some more prunes, man.
It's a motivator. It's
really tough.
A halftime speech.
It's really tough. Hi to everybody on CLTV, and we'll come back and do the 9 o'clock hour next on 720 WGN.
Do you like apples?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle, when the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
That's the love-themed Orion Samuelson. Good morning, though. How's it going today?
Well, I tell you what, I had one of the best evenings I've had in a long time because I attended the 100th anniversary of the birth of Paul Harvey at the Drake Hotel last night.
Is that right?
It was magnificent.
That's awesome.
Yes.
How about that?
Paul Jr. and the Harvey family put together a celebration. If he had still been alive, it would have been his 100th birthday.
How about that?
And and they had a band, and it was in the Drake Hotel at the Club International, which closed, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, but the Drake opened it because it was Paul's favorite club, and they served his favorite meal, and we were joined at the table by Paul's longtime engineer Bill Karambelis, and by Bruce Dumont, who made his own mark in broadcasting by founding the Museum of Broadcast Industry.
Your wife Gloria posted a photo of you and Bruce from last evening, and you have a very nice suit on. I like a light blue, very handsome. Can I share that on our Steve Cochran
show? I'll just say yes, you can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I need Orion's approval.
Well, Orion gave me quite an honor at one point when he invited me to his induction into the Radio Hall of Fame, where the man who did the induction speech was Paul Harvey. And one legend introducing another. And I thought what Paul Harvey said about you was brilliant.
Beautifully written. He was so good.
There's nobody better. Nobody better ever.
Nope.
And Paul Harvey talking about... I would encourage you to Google this today. I don't care how much you hate the Packers. Paul Harvey's newscast, the day that Vince Lombardi died, is poetry. I mean, it's just that good.
Yeah.
And by the way, you and I both know this, nobody was a better pitch man than Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey could be 45 seconds into a 60-second commercial, and you didn't even know you were being sold anything, and you already had your wallet out.
You're absolutely right. And I describe him also as the master of the pause in broadcasting.
Perfect.
He used pauses in his delivery better than anybody I've ever known.
Best storyteller, period. Yeah, because he turned every story into telling a story. Yes. There's nobody better. Yeah. All right, so the rest of us are terrible. You and Paul are really good.
No, not at all. We just were fortunate enough to be together, and I introduced him on the noon show on WGN for years, of course, and it got to the point where Paul, if he was doing an agricultural story, would call me just to check to make sure his facts were accurate with what I felt. And whenever the phone would ring and I'd pick it up, first words I'd hear would be, "Good morning, American."
One of my favorite interviews ever was the last interview I did with him, and I can't tell you how long it was before he passed, but we were talking about Paul Jr., and I told him how much I liked the rest of the story, and he goes, "Oh, that was Paul Jr.'s thing. He did such a great job with that." And at one point he said, he's got his music career and he's so good at the rest of the story, but he's going to have to pick one or the other. And I'm thinking, Paul Jr.'s got to be 60 at some point. He's got to pick one or the other. But he was very proud of his son as well.
He really was, and Paul Jr. was there last night to greet everybody. Oh, and the other comment I make, they had the band, and it was a country band from New Mexico that Paul discovered years ago and became good friends with him, and so they brought them in from New Mexico last night to do country songs.
That's great. Sounds like a nice time.
It was. Yeah.
All right, my friend, before we get to the great Apple test, what's ag news today?
Well, today, opening day at the Sandwich Fair.
Oh, there you
go. That fair is over 130 years old. I don't know what the actual number is, but Max Armstrong will be there on stage today at noon. I'll be there on stage tomorrow at noon. And
you haven't missed many. You haven't missed many in the last 30 or 40 years, have you?
No, I haven't. Nope. I've enjoyed every one and still enjoy them. And Faye's Pork Chop Barbecue, of course, is still part of the scenery out at the Sandwich Fair. Thing that's great about the Sandwich Fair, many things, but is the setting. It's an old-fashioned shade tree county fair. They have shade trees all over the grounds.
Yep.
And then they have the harness racetrack that in front of a grandstand that is so typical county fair 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago that I enjoy it very much. So we're looking forward to being a part of that. Oh, and then Saturday down to the U of I, Salute to Food and Agriculture Day. So we'll be down there for that as well. So it's basically activity this week, and the crop continues to reach maturity, and we're going to get underway with harvesting. We've already started, but not very much progress at this point. But we're on the road to harvesting a good crop this year.
When my first year working here, you had me give away tickets, Orion, to the sandwich fair, and I yes. was not familiar with the sandwich fair, so I thought this was one heck of a sandwich fair, like when they have a place to get sandwiches, yes. and we talked about it a lot. I'm like, this is a big deal, this sandwich fair, but it's a fair in Sandwich, Illinois.
It is, yes. Yeah. And
which it also has a pork sandwich, but it's not just sandwiches. Yeah,
that's
the fair.
Just coincidental.
Yeah.
So. Sandwich, Illinois is the location.
Yeah, I've been by the fairgrounds many times. And also, I want to say hi to the Roth family. They got a beautiful home on the lake there. And that's a great little lake, recreational lake with a lot of yes. nice folks.
Yep.
I always go to the fair that's next to that in Plano, the Plano Sandwich.
Is that right? The Plain O Sandwich. I thought you were part of the Condiment Carnival.
I'm busy right now.
He hates when I rewrite his punchlines. All right, we got the great apple test going on. You were the one that broke the news to us that the Red Delicious was in trouble.
Yeah, it's being surpassed by other varieties that have been developed since the Red Delicious.
What is your apple of choice? You told us and I forgot.
My apple of choice, well, it's kind of between two. I like the Granny Smith, but I like the crispy apple.
Honeycrisp?
Honeycrisp, yeah.
Mayor Emanuel said his favorite is the Granny Smith.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's why I kicked him out.
Smith.
Yeah, yeah. So here's the deal: we've started the Great Apple off yesterday, the playoffs, and yesterday, Dave, I picked the one that you like. It's the Cujo.
No, the Kiku.
Oh,
the
no,
Kiku.
You. No, well, I do like it, but that was not the one I was recommending. Oh, okay.
He has a different K. They're all Ks, actually. Yeah. I, of course, Big O, wanted him to like the Kanzi because it's the far superior apple, and he nixed it right away, but I'm going to be bringing that back into the competition.
Yeah, she thinks she can get it under the wire. All right, so we have new apples today, O, and I don't know what these apples are, but I'd like you to listen to the sound of the crunch.
And just so the audience knows, the apples have been blindfolded again.
This first apple, I would say, is just about baseball size because I believe I could throw a heater or a curve with this.
Slider.
So just based on the crunch, I'd like you to identify the apple.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That's another man-sized bite there.
That takes some dental power.
That was a juicy.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can.
What did it sound like to you?
It sounded like... Go ahead, Orion.
Sounded like a big bite out of an apple.
That was poetic.
You know what it sounded like? It sounded like one of those denture commercials.
Yes.
Where somebody bites into an apple.
Yeah. With confidence.
When the teeth fall out.
I do have to say...
Can you pass on that one? Because I'll reveal it so we can expedite that part.
All right, you got it.
Okay, so what'd you think? You did a shrug, but that's not audible, so...
Not great. You know, it's as a matter of fact... Kanzi's no longer in last place. That one is.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Well, this might get heated in here is all I'm going to say.
Going a little smaller now. Oh, this second one is...
bite size.
More golf ball, right?
Yeah.
Like a swollen golf ball. Here we go.
These are juicy.
Man.
There's a big bite, right?
Bad. Yeah. That one's not bad.
Not bad. Oh, you got the apple juice all over me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad you produced this show?
We should have a spit bucket.
You may want to move your phone, Mary.
I know, geez.
Spit bucket for
this one's
apples?
Dripping.
Yeah.
Is that wrong, Ori?
All right, we got third one.
Spit bucket for apples.
Put the whole thing in your mouth.
An apple number three. Again, probably baseball size, maybe a little smaller.
Swallow it whole.
Dare you.
There you go. You suckers are hard.
That one, yeah, you saw your head shake.
He's going to get a concussion.
Man. Yeah, I don't like that one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ori doesn't like that one. Ori doesn't like the sound of that apple.
Nope, I didn't
like
it.
All right, like so did you have a, of these three, is anyone?
Third one's hardest to bite into. but most tasty.
Yep. Mm.
The one I just tried.
Yeah.
The second one, a little sweet, but I liked it. And the first one, no. The first one makes Kanzi look desirable.
Well, the first one happens to be the Dave Ennett Kanzi.
I knew it! Oh, I knew
Koru.
It!
Ennett!
So the Kanzi and the Koru are not high end.
Koru doesn't make the cut.
This probably further supports that we don't think Steve has good taste, Dave, but we'll table that conversation.
Hey, it's his opinion. That's
have you ever had a Koru?
No.
The second apple is a Honeycrisp.
Okay.
Which
standard.
I told you.
Standard, yeah.
But they're not as tasty anymore. Something happened to those. They got bred too much or something.
It was okay. It wasn't great.
And the third apple is the Gala. And that is a very dense apple. It's very hard. Like, I could hurt you with it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so the Gala moves on to
Gala
play the
moves on.
To play the Cujo.
To go against the Kiku.
Against the one
the Kiku.
Pops
the
likes apple a Kiku with rabies. Apple.
Moving on. And I'm still chewing all three.
I was going to say.
And I'll bet dentists are probably backing that last hard-to-bite
Yeah,
apple.
The Gala. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good for business.
I'm looking forward to you changing your mind during the break.
I did yesterday, didn't I?
Yeah, all of a sudden they were growing on you. Yeah.
No, we're going Gala. We're going Gala versus Cuckoo.
All right. And, of course, you enjoyed a Macintosh with the mayor earlier.
Yeah, the mayor and I had a lovely Mac together.
And
did
apple
you really? I loved Macintosh as a kid.
Oh, they're the best. All right, hope. Well, it was good talking to you. And please give my best to Gloria and everyone at the sandwich fair.
I will do that, and we will have fun at the sandwich fair. You ought to join us.
I know. I'm going to swing by on my way back.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
You bet.
There you go. That's Orient Samuelson.
We should ask Steve Grzanich what's coming up next, since you've got still apple in your mouth.
Still, what's coming up next in the news? A lot of people are texting in. They're saying, Steve, is there any way you could stretch the apple eating contest into next week or maybe even, you know, next month? Because we really enjoy hearing you eat apples on the air. Yeah. Thank you, listeners.
How about an orange test?
It's not like...
It's the sound of an orange.
That was a good sound.
Do you like apples?
Lourdes Duarte texted me this morning before the mayor was on. Says, have a great interview today, Cochran.
Hmm.
And nothing after it. I got no review.
Maybe she wasn't pleased
Maybe
with
she didn't think it was a very good interview. No. It's news time. And then still to come in this
there
program.
There is apple juice all over this counter.
Well, whose fault is that?
You bit into it too big, I think.
Yeah, it's my fault. Okay.
Those are some humongous bites. I mean, it's great for radio.
You gotta do.
Great for radio.
Mm-hmm.
Great for CLTV.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the room? I don't know. It's a strange thing to see a human being eat like that, but sure.
I broke my jaw.
Yeah, I was on the program this morning. No big deal.
Oh, how'd it go?
Yeah, not well.
How are you, man?
I'm good. I couldn't be better. I'm just, you know what? I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm good, too.
First of all, I got lectured by Jordan Kaufberg, who's on that show now.
No, Justin.
It
was
Kaufman.
Justin Kaufman. Kaufman.
The promo today has stirred our fancy. Anna says Dave Navarro from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is coming up, which I'm like, oh, cool. But I'm like, Dave Navarro's known probably more for his work with Jane's Addiction.
Is that Justin? He knows his arts and culture.
I was talking too much about myself, and Steve didn't like that this morning.
Oh, so Steve went after you, too.
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
Huh. What the hell kind of show are you running, Ro?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We should probably do match game, don't you think? With Ro? Make Ro one of our match game celebrities. John, are you up for that?
I am up for it. I'm right here. Okay. It's all good.
312-981-7200 if you want to play match game. The mayor says hi, Ro.
Hello. Oh, yes. Yeah, we're very close. Very close.
Did you get up to listen to the interview?
I will be listening to it on podcast. This is my answer. Actually, I'll be stealing a bunch of stuff from it in the afternoon show. So, yeah, we'll be. It's going to be a big deal. Were you surprised?
Yeah, of course I was surprised. Absolutely. And one of the things that I don't know if you know this, we tend to be a tad skeptical, what you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was talking about his wife this morning, he choked up. And I believe, and I may be well proven wrong, I believe this is primarily a family decision.
It has the feelings of a personal decision on some level, because it was fast. His staff seemed to not know what was going on. There wasn't didn't seem like there was a real long conversation with a number of staff members about what to do here, and am I going to run? Am I not going to run? Is it worth another term? What can we win? All those kinds of questions that go into this didn't seem to be in the hopper. But I did say it was interesting, David. Axelrod yesterday was on, I think, a couple of different TV stations. They interviewed him, and he seemed to have been in conversations. It sounded to me like he had been talking to Rahm Emanuel for the last couple of months about the future, and that he was. I think Rahm was just kind of bouncing some things off.
Well, that's what's interesting too, because I brought that up to him because he's got two very Type A brothers, famous brothers. Mm-hmm. He's got the presidents, Clinton and Obama. He's got Axelrod. He's got all these people that he can go to, and he sounds like he talked to everybody. And I thought that was interesting, because Rahm seems like a guy who would go, I've made my mind up. I don't need to talk to anybody. I thought it was interesting he was bouncing it off people.
You get the sense that Clinton was, they were like, hey, Rahm Emanuel's on the phone for you, and tell him I'm busy. I'm playing golf. Tell him I'm out of the country.
Hey, Rahm.
What do you think?
What are you going to do now?
Ro, I was listening a little yesterday. The best part is now, the horse race. What's going to happen? Obviously, the candidates that are already
He said the next mayor is not in the race.
He said to us that the next mayor of Chicago is not currently in the race. What do you think? What names? Let's talk names. What do you think?
All right, so I think that tells you something, too, which tells you that he is going to anoint someone here.
Yep,
he's going to say, here's our guy. This is the
with
guy
his mayoral anointing oil?
Yes, he's
got he did bless our studio when we first moved into 303
East
Backer.
Oh, that's something. True. Does he bring? He gets that oil on Broadway, right?
Yes,
right,
he does.
Broadway and Belmont. Yeah. All right, so here's the people I keep hearing. Names: Luis Gutierrez comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to be brokering right now, going to him and going, hey, I need your imprimatur. His vice mayor, there's a guy, that I think, if you stop, you want to kind of, look around the political landscape. Would he choose an alderman?
No.
Right? Or is he looking for somebody who has a bigger profile? Right? I look at, other than Luis Gutierrez, you've got Valerie Jarrett. Her name has been floated, obviously. Barack Obama says he's busy.
How about Michelle Obama?
It's interesting. I don't think
why would she want the job?
Well, you can make the argument, why would anyone want it other than the 12 that have already asked?
Well, the mayor did say to us, Ro, that it's got to be somebody, this is from his perspective, is somebody who is well-rounded enough to understand that the job has a lot of different things. It can't be one-trick pony. That's the word he used. I think it has to be someone who has actually experienced higher office. And so to me, I think of the people, Luis Gutierrez would fit that bill, being a longtime congressman who is not running for re-election. Mm-hmm. And the other name, which I think it gets floated in there and doesn't get talked about as much, is the Cook County Board President, Kevin Preckwinkle.
Yeah, that's not to steal your homework, but that would be my next guess right there. But
is there a charisma problem with Tony Preckwinkle?
Because is there a charisma
problem? Well, no, I mean,
yes.
You and I know there's a charisma problem, but I'm saying in regards to the voter, is she unable to put it across where people aren't frightened by her lack of charisma?
You know, what's really an interesting thing is if you look at the vote totals in the Cook County wide race, either whether it's one of their districts or for the county board president versus a race in Chicago, even for an alderman or certainly for mayor, it's such a much smaller thing. People don't even realize that there is Cook County government, because sometimes it doesn't appear that there is. So that may be one of the reasons. This is a much bigger stage. It's mayor of Chicago is much bigger than Cook County Board. But even though the county board is, the budget's about half of what the city is. It's a big budget. But it's billions. But they, no one pays attention to it. This is a big, big, big deal if she wants to step up into this. And I think that she's going to get talked out of it by herself more than anybody
Governor
else.
Quinn hasn't run for anything in 15 or 20.
He said no. He's on the record saying no.
Mm. Oh, thank God.
And Lisa Madigan as well.
It's what America does not need. It's what Chicago does not need. Pat Quinn, I think Pat Quinn would be an excellent high school coach or something.
Pat Quinn should be greeter for the city, because he is incredibly likable.
Right. At Willie Wilson's new casino, I think we're going to get Pat to stand there.
Hi, everybody.
I was watching last night, I was watching a television program, a tremendous theory that there is no Latino candidate. in the race for mayor. And that may be the, if you think about Luis Gutierrez and this idea that this was sort of jockeyed, this was the idea that there would be an appointed, or anointed in this case, candidate that was Latino that would come forward who would have the backing of Rahm Emanuel. It's almost like set up, and that's why they cleared for Chewy to go to Congress and for Luis Gutierrez to be out of a job. That's an interesting theory.
Well, the other theories that are out there are scandal. Yeah, because we do that in Illinois. Certainly didn't feel like that, but, you know, there's surprises out there. And the one I think you can certainly check off the list is illness. Like, there was an illness he didn't want to disclose. He looked healthier than ever.
Did he stand on one finger? I like when he does that. I was at an event with him a couple of months ago, and he planked.
He's very fit and very annoying.
Yeah, it is really annoying.
He's trying to recruit Steve to do a wellness plan with him.
No, what I said was, and because he wasn't listening, what I said was, I'm going to outlive you. And then he said, come over, we're doing a wellness test right now. I didn't say today. Yeah. I said, I'm going to outlive you, and I'll say nice things about you at your funeral.
I can't wait to hear this interview. That's the best way to promote it ever.
Regardless, Ro, I know you always have the producers of the circus that show from Showtime on about the Trump campaign, but this is going to be at that level or better when it comes to who's going to be the next mayor of Chicago.
I think it's going to be less like the circus, more like Veep, I think is what it's going to be like. You're going to have people in
Veep
this.
Outtakes.
The Veep credits, because there are things going on right now as people are jockeying, because I can promise you that of the, what is it, eight, I think, named people here who, you know, said that they're going to run. And none of this is official, of course, because petitions are just starting right now. So, you know, getting on the ballot is a totally different story.
Bridget Gaynor.
But of the people who have been named, now, she walked away. Is she going to walk back? We'll get to her in
possibly.
1 second. But
hey, whose show is this? We'll get there in 1 second. Come on.
Hold on. But there are people who right now are like, what? Rahm's out. I was just running so that Rahm would buy me out of this thing.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And there were a bunch of people doing that. And, you know, get something for getting out. And now what are they going to do? And I think Bridget Gaynor, now, you know her better than just about anybody in the media.
She's great.
I think she is excellent. But what? Why didn't she want to do this in the first place?
I think she had concerns on a family level, about the stress and strain of it.
Did the concerns go away from a young family?
No, I don't. I don't know that they've gone away, but there's certainly an opportunity now that didn't exist before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of this comes down to cash. Who's got the most money and who's got enough money to get it done?
Rahm.
When the big dog goes away,
you're right.
Everybody's now playing with $1 million. So.
Right. Well, what happens to the $10 million that he's got?
Oh, it goes to me.
You know, also there's been a rash of TV celebrities, right? Like Cynthia Nixon. Yeah, I think it's going to be rerun from what's happening.
Well, I saw Roe endorsing.
It took place in Chicago.
It's got to be a Chicago actor like Dennis Franz.
Roe was endorsing Ryan Cheverini yesterday on the 8th season of Windy City Live.
You're just such a suck up. They're not going to bounce you off the show.
The premiere. He was.
Oh, yeah, you kidding me? do you know something, Steve? I don't. I think that Chicago. There's a lot going on here, and this trial is going to. It's going to highlight the seriousness of some of the problems in Chicago.
Of course.
And I think that this idea of, like, you know, celebrities and the social media candidates and things like that, I think are going to be less of a play, with the exception of Willie Wilson, who's, you know, kind of the outlier entertaining guy, you know, that sort of circles around this. But I got to tell you something. I mean, there are no serious African-American candidates that I think really have traction here at the moment, that are either recognizable or not about to get a federal investigation shoved up their business. And this is and that's why I think Willie, actually, if he hangs in there, he will attract enough attention, he could make it to the final two.
Ro will soak his head till 3, and then he'll come back and do this on CLTV.
What happened to Match Game? Did I do something?
Yeah, we're out of time for Match Game because we talked too long about the mayoral race.
Okay, sorry.
Get off the show. Thanks for coming. Talk to you later.
See you, bud.
That's Ro. He's going to think I was mad. I'm not mad.
Are you mad that he didn't suggest you?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think Dave Bennett suggested that earlier.
Yeah. I think I just got to, you know, get a place in the city. You know, there's talk of that anyway.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. You got to go and get angry
at all of my honesty. Seventh caller is going to win something off the prize list. 312-981-7200 is the number. Let's do a quick round of match game. John, you're the host. We don't even need the theme music here.
It's part of my responsibility.
The key.
To make sure that children
key,
know laughter, not gunfire.
Where is that coming from?
Does he want to play?
I think that may have been the newsroom. The key here is to match the caller. And the caller is Daniel Boyle. And let me go to Daniel. Good morning.
Is it really Dan Boyle?
Yeah.
Dan Boyle is my brother-in-law.
Is that true?
I don't know if this is that Dan Boyle.
I guess he'll see you at Thanksgiving. Hey, Dan, stand by. John will ask you a question. Don't say your answer until we're all locked in. What's the question?
Good morning, Dan. You know how to play, yes?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Here we go. When Orion was a boy in Wisconsin, he would go cow tipping. Now that he is older, he only tips blank.
Oh, that's good.
Got it.
That's a good question.
I got mine.
Yeah.
I'll repeat that again. Call when back. Orion was a boy in Wisconsin, he would go cow tipping. Now that he is older, he only tips blank.
All right. What's the answer, Dan?
Organic cows.
Organic cows. That's a very hip answer.
That's good.
And I'm going to give him one off the bat because I said he only tips cows.
Cows.
He tipped cows then. He tips cows now. Justin.
I said ballpark ushers. Call back to Pete's story early in the show.
I like that one.
Stretch.
That's good.
It's a long stretch.
That's good. If you listen to the whole show, you win.
All right, who's next?
Dave?
Waiters.
I only tips waiters. What a good answer. That's the best answer you've ever had in this game.
Mary?
Mary me?
Yes,
Mary,
I'm sorry. Mary Sandberg.
Mary Sandberg. That'd be
sorry.
He only tips milk.
This is not a great game.
That's good.
No, it's just not.
Like yeah. milk
no,
maids?
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Mary Vanderbilt?
I just said waitresses, so oh, I was kind of with
There
Dave.
You go.
Did we match?
Yeah, yeah, so you and Mary match, which means Dan's a big winner.
Hey.
Congratulations, yeah. Dan. Bill and Wendy are next at 720 WGN. I should mention this because I'm supposed to. The Stories That Matter with Steve Bertrand coming up and Random Sound that he plays from the newsroom, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Dan from the, what a weird time to go through puberty. Dan from the North Side won himself an apt gift card in Match Game. Hello, Bill and Wendy.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Ready to roll.
Ready to roll.
Great interview with the mayor.
Thank you. Thank you.
You shared an apple.
Yeah, not the same apple. That would have been strange.
Yeah, that would have been better.
You think?
Yeah, because it's such a little apple. It was like one of the
that would have been biblical.
Mary brought from Wisconsin. It would have been biblical.
There was a scene in the Bible where these two people
it's
shared
not
an apple.
The scene.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Scene one. It was the first scene. It was how it opened.
Scene three. Right.
Places, and action. People, and action.
And action. Cue the snake.
We're losing our light. We're losing our light.
So here's what Wendy and I have done, Steve. We said to ourselves, what worked best on Steve's show today? Well, he had the mayor and he had apple tasting. So we've got mayor tasting on our show today.
Oh, no kidding.
Bringing in three mayors from major cities, and we're going to taste them and see who tastes the best.
I'm game.
Yeah.
The whole thing is weird to me. But I listen, if you guys can pull it off.
We'll do it. Yeah. We'll try it.
Oh,
hey, you know what?
Off.
We're going to come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow's show. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that six-ish.
Thursday.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
When I say six-ish, I'm not kidding. Here's Wendy.